honorable members, our department, our visitors, our staff of both offices. Honorable members, here we are today. I'm suspecting each and every leader who is here and our staff, we do see and we do read in the papers, TVs, the sketch of gender-based violence. Every day we got to get messages. This little girl, a 10-year-old, missing, that other one, raped and killed, that one still not there. And this violence, now it's targeting our children, let alone the mothers. But it's worse now. Children are just taken from school, wherever. We are not aware what is going on in our culture. When a boy taken to the mountain, they do taught how to handle the family, respect the mothers, your sisters. I'm not even mentioning the kids. Immediately that you are respecting your mother, your sisters, it follows down that your kids. But as we're seeing every day, and even now, the Amahoshi, I'm suspecting they are just not knowing what went wrong. Irrespective of that, honorable members, I'm welcoming you. It's disturbing what is going on. But let me say that I'm aware that Netball South Africa is here, and they will introduce themselves, and maybe during apologies they will tell who's not in and why. But with me, I'm having an apology from Honorable Adams. She's sick, but also she has got a bereavement, the cousin to Honorable Adams. Was hijacked and was killed. You know, sometimes with some of us, you even scared to tell members that you also have a bereavement, which you just get this weekend. Happy are those who rest in internally life. Some of us were still behind in this world. We're experiencing horrible things. Sometime we'll just ask how many times, how often that you must pray that some horrible things must not happen. But what I do understand, even the evil people, they do pray that those things must be happened. By those words, I do welcome the department, the leadership of Netball South Africa, and all of us. Can I give Usoleka to give us apologies?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have an apology from Minister Mthethwa, who is in Botswana for a government business. We also have an apology from Deputy Minister Mafu, who is in East London for the National Archives Awareness Week. And you've already mentioned Ms. Adams' apology. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Angel, DJ, do you have apology from your office?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture Portfolio Committee. May I also greet the Chairperson of the Board for Netball World Cup, Ms. Chikwambana. Chairperson, maybe I must just correct that, yes, Netball President is here, but she's here on the basis of being a member of the board. So is the CEO, but they will introduce themselves. But as we are here, the Netball World Cup has got a duly properly constituted board, and they are the ones then who take responsibility for briefing on the state of readiness for the Netball World Cup. And those are then all the members, including the Netball South Africa Netball President, and then as part of the Netball World Cup Committee or Council. May I then greet the President of Netball also in South Africa, as well as all the colleagues of the board, and also my colleagues. I missed, Chairperson, whether the apology of the minister was made, because he is on official trip in Botswana as we speak for this week. So he is out of the country, and that is why he is not here. Otherwise, here, Chairperson, I have the two DDGs responsible for this particular area of our mandate, and that is DDG Chikwatamba, under whom international relations fall, as well as DDG Sumayakan, who is responsible for the issues related to sport recreation development and sport promotion. And I will ask then at the time of introductions, Honorable Chairperson, that my colleagues introduce themselves so that they can show their faces, and then we will proceed at a time when the Honorable Chairperson orders to do the presentations. That is the only.
Thank you, DJ. Already, Soleka did give us the apology of the Minister and Deputy Minister. Thank you, DJ. Honorable Members, I'm presenting the apologies in front of you. If you don't have any problem, let me get to the point number two. Point number two, according to agenda, it's the DG who's leading the department, as the agenda is in front of us. Department of Sports, Arts and Culture overview on the 2023 Netball World Cup. To you, DJ.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Please.
The agenda has not been adopted yet, Madam Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Honorable members, thank you. So I'm putting this agenda in front of you to adopt it.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Zonda, move that we adopt the agenda as presented.
Thank you, Honorable Zonda. Any second?
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Yes.
Honorable Malumana, I second, yes, Honorable Zonda for moving with the proposed agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Malumana. The agenda has been adopted. I don't see anyone who's against that. Now, let's give the department to do their political overview. It's not political, I'm sorry. The overview on the presentation, which is going to come next after the DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will just introduce the team. I've got DDG Khan, I hope that as I introduce them, they will just flick their faces and then disappear. DDG Khan, as well as DDG Chikwatamba, and then I've got the Chief Director, Simpiwe Mube. I've got the Chief of Staff, Mr. JP Lowe. And then I've got the Director, Sipesihle Mjali. I've got the Office of the Deputy Minister, Ms. Nambita Mekane. I've got the team of the department, the Chief Acting Chief Director, International Relations, Mr. Michel Mbowane. I then have the colleagues, Michelle Ravina, Mr. Watani. I also have in our midst, Lodwick, who is sharing the presentation. I believe that that is the delegation of the department that is present here today, Honorable Chairperson. We will then make the presentation, but just to remind Honorable Chairperson, as we talk about the World Cup and the fact that what Madiba once said about South Africa being able to return to be among the nations of the world as being important after isolation, and particularly during the era of also sport boycott, as there was a lot of solidarity with the plight of the majority of South Africans. But most importantly, then Madiba made the following statement in relation to the importance of sport. And I quote directly that the sport has the power to change the world. It has the power to inspire. It has the power to unite in a way that little else does. It speaks to you in a language they understand. Sport can create hope where once there was only despair. It is more powerful than governments in breaking down racial barriers. It laughs in the face of all types of discrimination. I close quote. Chairperson, I'm raising this because the Netball World Cup will bring South Africans together, but more than that, will cross the barriers across the globe to bring all the humanity together in order to bring about harmony, social cohesion, as well as unity in the world, as we will have this spectacle that would be watched by the world over. So we present the overview in the context that this is not South Africa's Netball World Cup, but more of Africa's World Cup in netball, the biggest women's sport in the world. None compares to it, except when compared with the World Cup in football on the men's section. It is very important that we present to you the state of readiness that our country has reached. We'll just remind the Honorable Chairperson that the spheres of government, all of them, have been fully involved and are still participating since the bid process. Also the portfolio committee, to just note that then the award in 2019 resulted in the department then being able to have what we call a establishment of the board or the council. We can move to the next, because I think this has been presented before in terms of the breakdown as Lodwick. So when we then look at the issue of then, after being awarded this, there was a steering committee that was established before we could establish the board itself. When then that happened, then there was a transition, Chairperson, in that then the World Cup committee was fully established and appointed. Two, there was an interministerial committee that was also established. Now, the interim committee, just to rewind a bit so that everybody understands what we mean by the three spheres of government, is that this will be hosted in Cape Town in July next year. And that will be in the in the province Western Cape. Therefore, then Western Cape sport, arts and culture and recreation, they are part and parcel of this team. But also we then have the city of Cape Town. And then over and above the city of Cape Town, we then have National Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. Those are the spheres we are referring to in this regard. We then had a cabinet, a memorandum, which was tabled in March 2021, where the interministerial committee was being requested, as well as the technical committee that will support the IMC. Our national government and our cabinet then approved this and established the interministerial committee on the Netball World Cup. Also established then the technical team or committee, technical IMC, constituted of directors general who are responsible for departments within which the IMC is constituted. Based on that then, the following departments, Honorable Chairperson, were then identified to be part of the IMC. These departments are Sport, Arts and Culture, State Security, Home Affairs, Health, DERCO, Trade, Industry and Competition, Forest, Fisheries and Environment, Communications and Digital Technologies, the Department of Transport, and then the Presidency, the Police, Tourism, COCTAR, Women, Youth and People with Disability, as well as Western Cape and Department of Cultural Affairs and Sport, and the Mayor of the City of Cape Town. This team, this IMC, is then supported by the head of department as well as the directors general from the respective departments. We then, Chairperson, developed the terms of reference, which then outlined the responsibilities for each and every department so that they understand. We then also then had the board established and introduced to the IMC as well as the technical IMC. The expectations then from the government was outlined on what each of them were expected to deliver. Then, of course, agreed on the feedback processes so that we monitor progress on commitments made by each of the departments. We then wrote to these departments to say, can you then commit in writing that you will fulfill your obligations? And this is the status that we are presenting in the slide number 7, Chairperson, where we're indicating that the most important thing was to honor the financial commitments to International Netball Federation. And we then had to do that and committed a total of 90 million rand to support this particular hosting of this biggest spectacle in women's sporting area in the world. And the department then has been honoring payment of this in tranches of 30 million rand per financial year. But also then Western Cape and the Department of then Cultural Affairs and Sport was also able to make commitments, and those commitments are detailed there in terms of the legacy by upgrading and construction of netball courts and participation of local netball structures, as well providing assistance with the trophy tour. I will not go into detail, Chair, but just to indicate also support to the hosting of the Welcome Fan Parks and viewing centers when the Netball Cup starts. Then we also had the City of Cape Town, where they also provided from the beginning the issue of the pre-bid support, but also were able then to agree on the hosting commitments to host events prior to the Netball World Cup 2023, as well as a support in terms of the legacy projects, as well as financial support, all inherent responsibilities that the city has to do. We then have COCTA, which is then to support the whole city to deliver on its inherent responsibilities. And we've got that commitment through that letter, and that they will then also provide support and build capacity of relevant municipalities so that they're able to perform their functions, because the world needs to host the events in an area that is seen to be capable of delivering, whether it is infrastructure, that there is no degradation, just whether the communities in that area are in need under a well-capacitated and well-run municipality. Then, of course, the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment also had to commit, and which they did, to assist us in terms of dealing with the estimations about carbon footprint calculations, so that we know whether pollution levels are conducive at a level where people are able to host such events, come together without a risk of pollution. That is a number of other commitments, Chairperson. Then we also have commitments from DERCO. So we know that DERCO assists also with the issues of protocols, particularly our international guests and visitors, heads of state who might be coming during the World Cup tournament. We also have the same communication commitments from the department, DCDT, as we had indicated, that they will ensure that we have relevant technology within the Cape Town International Convention Center to ensure that the tournament is run smoothly. Transport cannot at this stage commit to what was directly requested, but had advised them to indicate the support they believe they can provide, but they had responded in acknowledging the request we have made. DTIC, and then in terms of clothing and textile desk, providing the issues about the IP, intellectual property legislative requirements. GCIS also committed in terms of supporting in the communication and promotion and marketing of the Netball World Cup, as they work together with the department's communication team. Tourism, in terms of awareness, travel and tourism packages and deals, working closely with the hospitality industry to assist us to make sure that all issues related to accommodation, but also sport tourism, is promoted. And they have provided us detail in this regard. Chairperson, if we then look at the Department of Women, Youth and People with Disabilities, and then they will be just providing and raising awareness in relation to the needs of women and youth and persons with disabilities, mobilizing them and making sure that they are not on the periphery of the World Cup. They remain our conscience in making sure that these groups that have been marginalized and regarded as vulnerable are not left watching from the perimeter, but are part and parcel of the Netball World Cup 2023. And then, of course, subs is given. The issue is you cannot have an event that is marred by risks of crime. And that is why then they have agreed that they will be playing a crucial role, including the issue of the net joints being established, the events and safety security planning committees that they will assist us on. State security, of course, the issues of threat analysis and risks that the country can face, those assessments that will assist us in this regard. Chairperson, the legacy program that relates to the domestic, I think there will be an explanation in detail by the board, but we just want to indicate that this is one of the key things. What is the leave behind? What will change so that more and more of our girl children And by the way, boys now who also play netball, they have something that will remain as a legacy of Netball World Cup. And we are giving them a breakdown in terms of where we are, in terms of the two courts per province, which one will be a multi-coded one and one is only dedicated to netball. And we then break that breakdown in terms of where, in which schools, because the target is if we are able to do this in schools, we will be able then to have a living legacy and a lasting legacy. So if you look at that, each province helping us to provide this particular legacy, to be provided with this legacy projects. KwaZulu-Natal, we give the name of the school, which is Lutai High School. Then if you look at Hammarsdale, and that you be at Thekwini Metropolitan, Limpopo, Chikutula Secondary School, Mukondeleli Village, and what will be at Mkaro, and then of course Northern Cape and Northwest. We have tried to cover almost all provinces. I may not go into the details, Honorable Chairperson, but this is what the team has really been able to do. So make sure that each province has got at least two legacy projects in terms of sport courts, where children can be provided with infrastructure, which is then used not only by the schools, but by a circle of schools within a particular area, so that this is shared by the different schools in that area to support the growth and development of netball. Of course, then Chairperson, if we then move at the just to share with you some of the key projects, you will see that we are indicating just how will this look like, depicting them in terms of pictures. And I think my screen sharer is really sleeping that side. Ludwig, can you move with me, or is it my
You left with 3 minutes, Dietrich.
Chairperson, I am done. I was just indicating the only, those are just pictures to indicate. But in terms of the resolutions, if we go to the last slide, page 15, just to indicate that the IMC, which met for the first time, committed then that they will firstly ensure that Parliament is included in the bidder process, that they will also be able to seek a valuable counsel or insights from the team that was involved in the 2021 FIFA World Cup, but also to look at the lead sponsor for the Netball World Cup, but also come up with 10 lines or slogans to create a nationwide movement. For instance, FIT is here, it is here. This is meant to ensure that there is an international buy-in of this particular support for the Netball World Cup. Then they will support Netball Fridays to create a greater awareness and make sure that the South Africans own this particular project, which is the biggest project we can ever have in the country, talking to the majority of citizens in this country, which is women. Chairperson, allow me then to just thank you. And that is the overview that we have in relation to the state of readiness for the World Cup and Netball World Cup 2023. Thank you.
Thank you so much, DJ. I like your closing remarks when you're saying that it's the biggest event of the World Cup coming to South Africa, and the World Cup of the majority of the population of this country, which are women. Thank you to recognize that. Let me take this opportunity to give to the leader of World Cup, the board member. I'm suspecting, I'm very sorry, patients, forgotten your surname, to call you by your first second name. I'm giving you this opportunity to talk to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I just thought, let me show my face.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much. Good morning again to the Honorable Chair, and also to good morning to members of the Portfolio Committee on Sport, Arts and Culture. And may I also say greetings to the DG and his team. Good morning as well to the board members and the executive of NSA that is part of this session. I was unable to give apologies, Honorable Chair, at that point, but please kindly allow us to just give an apology in terms of the board. People that are here, it's myself as a chair. I'm also joined by DDG Khan as well as our board member. And then we also have Blanche Delage, who's the CEO of Netball South Africa, but she's our board member. And also joined by Lyndon Bauer from the Western Cape. May I convey our sincere apologies to for the president of Netball South Africa, Cecilia, who couldn't join us. And also JP Smith. Those are the two apologies that we have from the board. But I think they've got confidence that as a board will be able to give an update to your meeting, Honorable Chair. Maybe before I also continue, I don't know, Blanche, in terms of the NSA executive. Yes.
Sorry, Chairperson of the Netball board member. Yes, Honorable Mshunk.
Apology to disturb the speaker, Chair. I'm concerned with the number of board members who are there. Only two members who are there, obviously one of our officials is there. I think I'm concerned. It's a standing meeting and they must respect us. They cannot just come up to say there's an apology. What is the meaning of the apology? It's a standing meeting with Brighter than a long time ago. I'm concerned, Chair. Can you note my objection to that?
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. You hear yourself all, Chairperson.
Yes, yes.
That we must note it.
No, it's four board members that are here, and I have taken note of the honorable member in terms of the other two board members that are not here. So we are six, four are in attendance. It's only two that are not here, which is the which is Mrs. Mulukwane and also JP Smith.
Thank
you very much. And then I think from Netball, Blanche, as the CEO, can you just quickly indicate who is in attendance from the executive?
Honorable Chairperson, Madam Beauty, one of our directors received the news of a family member that passed on last night, and she left to go and attend the family. Apologies for her.
Madam CEO, honorable members, the vice president, Mami Diala is in attendance, and we also have Claudine Klassen, who is the director of demarcation and structure in this meeting.
Who's speaking?
Thank you very much, NSA.
Who's speaking?
It's the deputy president of Netball South Africa.
Just now.
Okay.
Where's her face?
Okay.
Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir.
Yes. I'm trying to show my face. I don't see it.
Yes. You see the light? No.
Does it show?
No, not at all.
For my again. I've tried video.
There you are.
Yes. Thank you.
Basically. Okay.
Thank you very much.
their condolences to the member who's just got a bereavement. Thank you. Pass our condolences. Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, patience.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Right, in terms of our presentation, we've just put together a presentation to give an update. And Honorable Chair, let me first indicate that as a board, we've got a clear vision in terms of what is expected of us to do. And from our side, our vision is very clear that we need to host a unique, successful World Cup in order to raise the profile of netball in South Africa and to transform the sport into a fully professional career for women, because this is the first of its kind in Africa and in South Africa. Next slide, Aria. May I also indicate, because I've not said who we've got from our local organizing committee, we also joined, my apologies to my colleagues, we've also joined by our newly appointed tournament director, Ms. Priscilla Masisi, and then we're also joined by the head of finance administration, which is Gerard Odendal, and also we've got Riabetsi Mpete, who's our project manager. So that's the whole team that is in attendance, Honorable Chair. This is our roadmap in terms of how we're going to get into the opening ceremony next year on the 28th of July in Cape Town. I'll talk to the roadmap as we go on with the presentation. Next slide, please. In terms of the event next year, we're looking at setting up the venue on the 1st of July up to the 25th. And then World Netball Board is going to be hosting its meeting on the 25th of July, 2023. And we're also going to have a team welcome dinner that is also planned for the 25th of July, 2023. And you'll note that there we have proposed that we'll request our Honourable Minister to host this event, if not, maybe even request the President's Office to give us that kind of an honour to host that dinner. And then also during the period of before the event starts, there'll also be a World Netball Congress. This is the norm, it's what they do whenever they've got a World Cup in whatever country where it's hosted. So the World Netball Congress will be on the 26th to the 27th of July. And then also the Congress Delegate and Observer Welcome Reception. This one we're proposing to be hosted by our Mayor of City of Cape Town, which will be on the 26th of July. And then also going to have an event called Candle Lighting Ceremony. And this one we felt that since it's candle lighting, and obviously we're looking at even having it at the Table Mountain. And in this one, we're proposing that the MEC of the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture in the Western Cape or the Premier should be the people that should give us the honor to host it on the 27th of July. Opening ceremony and our first match is going to be on the 28th of July, 2023. The competition time, it's 28th July up to the 6th of August. I think you'll take
just a moment, patience. Zoleka asked this question in this platform. He's asking something. Please ask in order that they must correct and answer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just need to confirm if Mr. Odendal is using Tech One's iPhone. Can you just please confirm that, Mr. Odendal? If not, can the person who's using Tech One's iPhone please confirm who they are? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Until you get that information, please wait, patient. Who's using that? You are going to take that person out if it does speak or speak doesn't. Hello.
Apologies. It's Ravina Lawrence from Sport Arts.
You know that person, DJ?
Yes, Chairperson, I had introduced her. I don't know how she used a different tag name. That is she's colleague, doing that. Can we just write our name?
And she's
I'll correct that now.
But you're taking so long even to respond. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, patience.
Thank you, Chair. I was on the competition time. It's going to be the 28th of July up to the 6th of August. I think, Honourable Chair, we need to note that the event is going to start in the Mandela's March and also end in the Women's Month. The DG started very well about the quote from our icon, and that's why we're going to host it in that month, and then it's going to end in the Women's Month. And then we're going to have an observers program, which is going to be from the 2nd to the 3rd of August. And then the closing ceremony and the finals is going to be on the 6th of August, 2023. And obviously, we're going to do the venue strike down from the 6th of August up to the 9th, 2023. In terms of progress thus far, against the milestones that have been sent, that has been set, the minister have announced the board in April 2021, and then we then unveiled the World Cup logo in June 2021 in Cape Town, and then also we've developed key policies for the World Cup. I think this was a critical point for us as a board, because our responsibility as a board is development of policies and provide strategic direction to the LOC. And that this was very important for us to really make sure that we've got clear policies and system that is going to guide our team, that is going to implement the project. And then we've also opened offices or headquarters in September 2021. And we've also put the tender on the manufacturing of the wooden sprung floors. And I think I'm going to talk to this when we come. And then the recruitment policy, recruitment process. In relation to the LOC, we've also commenced with that last day in September. Part of our responsibility as a board as well is to report to the World Cup, the World Netball Board. And in terms of last year, we reported to them about the event planning update, and we've also submitted an events transport plan. And I think in this instance, it was more sharing with them in terms of how we're going to take care of them as they arrive in the country from the airport up to their various hotels. We also submitted accommodation options and the plan for them as well, Netball Board. There's a number of hotels that we've identified, mainly around the precinct. And I think that we can share if the Honourable portfolio committee need to know that, but we're using most of the Tsokosan hotels. And then we've also shared with them the event website and event promotional campaign that we have established, which was last day in July 2021. We've also submitted to them our PR plan on domestic and international to World Netball. This is more the visual language and our brand CI card in terms of what we're going to be doing. I mean, one of the things is that the sun shines in Africa, and we're definitely going to make sure that as they come through, they are going to really have a great experience and enjoy being part of this continent and the country. And we've also submitted our risk assessment and contingency plan. I think this one, we do it each and every quarter so that they are aware in terms of how we're progressing around some of the issues that I also concerned from there. On appointment of host broadcasters, we've concluded on that one. We had a press conference on the 2nd of March 2022 to announce our host broadcasters. Also, we've managed to appoint our commercial partner. It's a company that is going to go out and raise funding for the event, adding into what we've received from government. We're also busy on event ticketing strategy. That is going to include allocation of complimentary and VIP tickets. A high-level strategy has been developed in this regard. And obviously, once we've concluded, because since we've appointed our tournament director, she's really working very hard, and there's more momentum in terms of what we're doing from our side. And in terms of submission of risk assessment and contingency plan. I've spoken about that one, that we're busy submitting quarterly reports in that regard. In terms of achievement for this year, we had an opportunity to be visited by the CEO of World Netball, Ms. Claire Brigham, and she had an opportunity, you know, to even go and visit some of the legacy project in the Western Cape. And also we've appointed in February our finance and administration head, which is Gerard Odendal. And I think I've spoken about the one of us appointing our domestic commercial agent in February. In March, we've announced the host broadcasters, and we've also appointed our tournament director, Ms. Priscilla Masisi, who started on the 1st of May 2022. And then in terms of April, as a board, we hosted a strategic planning session. And in that period when we are hosting that, we are fortunate that we could be joined by Ms. Kate Agnew from World Netball, who is an events consultant. One of the things, Honorable Chair, that I must indicate is that custodianship of the event, we all hear that it belongs to World Netball. And from their side, and in terms of the agreement with World Netball, was that they will appoint an event consultant who's going to work with us to ensure that we are on track in terms of preparation and we are meeting our obligations as what has been agreed even in the host agreement. And Kate, in her presence in the country, she joined us in that strategic planning session so that she can share with us in terms of the expectations as well, but also provide guidance because she's a guru in this kind of work. She's been doing it for quite some time. She's from New Zealand. So she also had an opportunity to visit some of the accommodation areas that we've identified, and she also even had an opportunity to engage with SuperSport around the broadcasting needs. May have already said that we've appointed Priscilla. Currently, we're finalizing the head of marketing. Actually, it has been completed. The interviews have been done in May. The board is meeting on Thursday, and we're going to be looking at the recommendation that has been forwarded to us by the panel. Event details, I've spoken to that one. In terms of governance, hosting agreement has been signed and confirmed. The issue of the appointment of the board, even the DG has spoken about that, and it has been confirmed. Recruitment process is an ongoing process from our side. And maybe I must also indicate, Honorable Chair, that we're also going to also be looking at an aspect of seconding some of staff members from our partners or stakeholders that we have within the World Cup. And then in terms of the commercial, I've already indicated that we've hosted that and our commercial partners at SuperSport, SABC, and Telkom One. Marketing and communication, go back earlier, thank you. Marketing and communication brand guidelines confirmed. Tender for ticketing company to be published soon. And then I've spoken about one of the marketing interviews on the head of marketing. In terms of tournament operations, the format for the World Cup has been confirmed. I think this one is more technical and we are guided mainly by World Netball. Competition scheduled in second phase of development, and then accommodation recommendations have been sent to World Netball for their input and finalization. Venue operations confirmed. The venue has been confirmed. Deposit has been paid, and also we're busy on finalizing the contract with the Cape Town International Convention Centre. In terms of activations, thank you to Netball South Africa who launched a Netball Friday on the 4th. Even sold to anyone that wants to join and be part of mobilizing on this event. We also announced the mascot competition in Feb, the same day when the Netball Friday was launched. And I must indicate that the closing date was on 31st of March 2022. Already there's a committee that was put together to look at the proposal that we've received, and we intend as a board to announce the mascot when we do our 1 year before the opening ceremony of the World Cup next year, which is on the 28th of July, 2022. We've also celebrated our 500 days on the 14th of March. This was more of a digital event. In terms of resources, in terms of human resources, we're working hard that at least by end of June, we should have had more people appointed within the LOC so that we can be able to chase most of the things that need to be done on the event. I've already touched base about the issue of the 1 year celebration before the opening ceremony next year. Our idea on this one, Honorable Chair, is that we're looking at having physical digital clocks in the shape of Africa, which are going to be placed in major airports in the country. We're also looking at other areas within Cape Town, and that's why we've got even VN Waterfront. One of the things that we're even saying that we also need to put one at ICC, and also are going to have one at the Netball South Africa head office. I must also indicate that the day that we're celebrating the 1 year to go celebration, it's also going to be the opening ceremony of the Birmingham 2022 Commonwealth Games. And I think the Honorable Chair and members must take note that netball is part of the Commonwealth Games, and also we'll be having our Proteas being part of Team South Africa in this regard. Africa Regional Qualifiers going to take place on the 20th to the 27th of August. This is going to be happening here in Pretoria. In October, we're looking at the first phase of ticket sales. I must say that all the regions, they'll also be hosting, I think I'll talk about it later, they'll also be hosting their own regional qualifiers. But on the 30th of November, we'll then be having a final draw that are going to be coming to South Africa next year. And the second phase of ticketing is going to happen on the 7th of December, 2022. 200 days to go, it's going to be on the 10th of January, 2023. And on this one, we're looking at hosting coaching clinics. And obviously, I must commend our provincial department and the MECs. They've also been on board on supporting this project. And also, we'll be having some tournaments that are going to be hosted by them in those 9 provinces. And then 100 days to go is going to be on the 20th of April. And on this one, we're looking at a physical mobilization and digital campaign and an announcement of the trophy tour that is going to be coming to the country. And also the third phase of ticket sales, it's going to be happening on the 20th of April. And then arrival of the trophy and official game ball, this is going to be happening on the 25th. And I think all of us, we know that the 25th is Africa Day. This will be a significant moment for the continent and for us as a country when it arrives. The trophy will land either in Johannesburg or in KwaZulu-Natal. And obviously what we're looking at is to ensure that this trophy visits all the provinces, because as much as it's in the Western Cape, the event, but this is a country's event. 50 days to go, it's going to be the trophy tour, which is going to start on the 9th of June. And then the trophy, once it has done, the 8 provinces is then going to arrive in the city of Cape Town on the 12th. Of July, and then the games, then and then the viewing parks and the centers are then going to be open from the 28th of July to the 6th of August. This is just to indicate, Honorable Chair, in terms of how the trophy is going to be traveling around the country. I'm not going to labor on that one. And obviously, in terms of the fan parks, we've just put some kind of requirements on if that whoever was going to even look at having it, is that we need to ensure that the fan park it's family friendly. There's large viewing screen. The whole issue of hospitality is taken care of, and then the space for sponsors activation, and also the space for merchandising sales, and also the space for public catering. Right, in terms of legacy program, the DJ has already spoken about it, but I think I'm just going to also talk to it. In terms of domestic part of it, yes, the Western Cape Department is really taking a lead in terms of ensuring that we get between the 20 and 30 courts. And I think they've done very well. And as I said earlier on, that the CEO of World Netball was very impressed when he visited some of the facilities that have been upgraded and built. And then also the DG has spoken about the multi-purpose sport courts that are going to be managed or coming from the National Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. And then obvious, each province in terms of our domestic legacy is going to be receiving wooden sprung floor, and Netball South Africa will also be receiving two of those wooden sprung floors as part of legacy. I think on this one, it's critical because some of us have not had an opportunity, you know, when we played our netball to be playing at the correct facility, including the correct floors. And I think this is a great legacy that we're going to be leaving behind. And then also Netball South Africa is actually helping on this part in terms of capacity building of coaches, umpires and administrators in the province within their members as NSA. Internationally, we're going to be giving two of those wooden floors to Africa. And I think I hope that the members are aware that our president of Netball South Africa, she's also the president of Netball Africa. And also a knowledge transfer program will be facilitated to upskill for African countries on technical aspect of the game. And also the knowledge transfer program will also be facilitated to the United States of the USA, let me just put it that way. They have been selected to grow the game of netball in America. I think we all know that America, you talk basketball and all those kind of things, and netball has not been in that particular level. So they've also been identified. Next slide. In terms of budget, Honorable Chair, our total budget in terms of this whole event, we're looking at about 177 million. And thank you very much to our government that have made commitment. So part of our revenue, we're going to be getting it from government, and already the National Department of Sports, Arts and Culture has allocated 90 million. Our provincial department in the Western Cape has allocated 5 million. And then from the city, we're going to get 6 million. We're also going to use, we're also going to get other revenue through a commercial. And obviously, through sponsorship, we need to raise about 15 million. The broadcasting, I think as we've announced, that's basically what we've got, 9.5 million. Through the merchandising and licensing, we're looking at getting a revenue of 2.5 million. And then in terms of ticket sales, we're very hopeful that we're going to raise about 12 million. And obviously through the accommodation that we have, we're looking at having accommodation rebate of about 500,000. And then in terms of expenditure, that's what we envisage to use the money for. Next slide, Priya. But in terms of the project plan for this year, I've spoken already about April, May, in terms of what we're busy doing. In terms of June, there's going to be training for statistical software for the members that are going to help out on the technical aspects. Head of departments, we're hoping that head of departments are all going to be appointed this month. And also marketing the plan for regional qualifiers, which we're going to share with the regions and also World Netball. In terms of July, that same training is going to continue. We're going to celebrate our 1 year to go campaign. Oceania is going to also host its regional qualifiers in July. And then the registration of travel packages is what we're looking at as well in July. And lastly, as I said earlier, we're going to be launching our mascot in July 2022. In terms of August, it's announcement of the top six ranked countries. I think those are the countries that are also going to be in the Commonwealth Games. And then, as I said earlier, that Africa Regional Qualifiers is going to be happening in August. Then September, Asia is hosting its regional qualifier. And also from our side, it will be submission of final venue layout, security plan for the teams, spectators, the application system and transport system. And in October, it will be Europe and America's regional qualifiers, and then World Cup. And then we're also going to do a World Cup event manual shared with competition teams. And also, as I said earlier, that that's where we'll have our first phase of ticket sales going live. And the final draw is going to be in November. Obviously, we cannot say to ourselves we will be ready towards the event next day without even having test events. So the first test event is the one that we're going to have here in Pretoria. And then we're also planning to have another one in November, which is going to be the Diamond Challenge. And then next year, January 2023, we're going to be hosting a quad series in Cape Town as part of us preparing and checking that are all systems ready for us to be able to host the event in July 2023. And before I close, Honorable Chair, I want to leave you with this quote. You know, after we were appointed as members of the board to become to be given the responsibility as of stewardship on this project, one of the things that keeps me going as the chair is this quote from Stephen R. Covey, open quote. He says, "The first job of a leader, whether at work or at home, is to inspire trust, is to bring out the best in people by entrusting them with the meaningful stewardship, and to create an environment in which high trust interaction inspires creativity and possibilities." And these are things that we as the board of this World Cup, we need to aspire to make sure that come next year, all of us are going to be proud to be hosting the best world ever World Cup of netball in this country. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Wise words. Thank you so much. These are wise words. Thank you so much, Patience. Now, Honorable Members, is now the time to interact with the presentation, give the presentations. Let me go. Oh, I have a hand, Honorable Song, Honorable Veronica, Honorable Sondi, Honorable Sibiya, Honorable Malumana, in that order. I thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I welcome the presentation and thank you for the detailed presentation. But Chair, my first question is, I'm worried why the CA is not here of Netball of South Africa. Maybe the question is, what relationship does the board has with the CEO of South Africa? How often do you meet and what is the relationship? I think, be honest to us, because last time we saw that we expected you to join our meeting as a board, but we're told that no, there's a gap on its own, then we're not aware because we're discussing World Cup. But nonetheless, Chair, another question, who appoints officials? Who appoints, for example, project managers and others? Who appoints them? Is it the board? Is it the CEO? Can I get them an explanation? And what is the role and the duties of the head of marketing and the tournament director? I need to understand that. The duties and the roles of tournament director and the head of marketing. I think I'm on HR issues because the presentation is not detailing exactly the HR issues. Issues of secondment. You spoke of that you are going to second people from different stakeholders. Tell us more about secondment. Are they going to get paid double? What is the remuneration? What is the secondment all about? Can we get the details on the recruitment processes? And can you give us a structure, the detailed official human capacity that you need? I think you must get a structure because you spoke of the latest actors who have all this secondment and all this recruitment. For what? For what positions? And the question is on legacy programs. Where I see that there's a primary school called Matala. Where is Matala in Gauteng for the multi-purpose center? I want to see and check for myself. And in the issues of, I think it's one of the core issues that I wanted to find out. What strategy do you have to make sure that we have supporters or we have fans on these events or on these venues? What strategy do you have to make sure that we have more supporters or more fans short, so to say, because your social, your presentation is quiet on that. And then on the allocation of budget, to date you've received how much from the department? You spoke of 90 million. And what does it entail, that 90 million? And I think in future we must get a good financial spending of, I saw everything, but I think it's for me as a layman, I must understand it because I see expenditure. All in all, is this tournament going to be work on a profit or on a loss? I'm not sure. But because all things are packed differently in different forms. But nonetheless, I welcome the presentation. Last of all, the test event, where in Pretoria the venue? You said the test event will be in Pretoria. Where in Pretoria? For now, Chair, I think we'll have second bite. Let me listen to my colleague.
Thank you, Honorable Song, Honorable Veronica.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also welcome the presentation. I also have a few questions, and some of the questions. Sorry, Chairperson, someone is disturbing.
Yes, who's not closing the mic? Thank you, Honorable Veronica. Honorable members, please don't open your mics.
Chairperson, in the first place, I also want to ask the composition of the board of the Netball 2023 World Cup. It is mainly composed of senior departmental officials, members of Netball SA, and a representative from SASCOP. Why are there no representatives from the civil society, as well as independent members that are not from government entities? According to the plan that was previously presented to us, there should be a CEO, an administrative accounting officer. Why is that person not reflected nowhere? Has that person been appointed? If not, why not? With regards to this board, I want to know, do the board meet with the Netball SA executives, and how regular, if you do? If we can maybe get dates on that. And then I also want to know, when will the first set of audited financial statements be made available to the committee? The profits that will be made in this World Cup, how much will go to World Netball and how much will remain in South Africa? On slide 13, I see that you're doing a provincial tournament in January. I want to ask why, when at the moment there's a provincial tournament that is currently running, as we speak, which is fully sponsored by TWSA. On the same slide, you refer to Africa Day, 25 May. Netball SA was awarded a bit, not Africa Netball. So can you just give me, reflect on that, and how much money is African Netball contributing to the World Cup? Then I also want to ask, if there's paperwork of the budget, if you look at slide 14, when we look at that, that you presented there, business operations 11.19, like the legacy cost, can you maybe in terms of that elaborate, or is it possible that on those figures that you give there, that you can maybe give us more information on that, that you can send to us, because you mentioned a bid fee of 183,000, but in the meantime, government has almost paid 4 million rand in the beginning for the bid. So what is the difference between the bid fee and the sanction fee? We need you to explain to us the figures that you're presenting to us. There's no proper breakdown of what you're presenting to us. We also need to know the board salaries, who is getting paid what. I want to know if this the members that are now also sitting on the World Cup board, will they be double dipping? Because at this stage they're already receiving a huge salary from Netball SA. So just if you can give us clarity on that. Then previously it was mentioned that there was 55 or 54 million paid from Super Sport. This is not reflecting on this presentation. Where is that money, and where does the I just want to know why is it not reflecting? Has it actually been given to Netball SA? Another thing that with regards to the ticket sales, where is that money going? In the past, has that money been reflecting on the bank statements of Netball SA? And if not, can you maybe tell us what happens with the proceeds? Where does it go? I'll take a second bite, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Veronica. Honorable Zondi.
Chairperson, thank you very much and good morning to honorable members and our visitors. Chair, I'll take 5 as you indicated so that I'll save time for other members to take a second 5. The first one, Chair, Honorable Mhlongo covered a bit. It is directed to UDG Ukhabazela on the 90 million allocation from DSEC. I want to know when is the allocation made available to the committee, World Cup committee? Is it in the current financial year or in the next financial year? The second one, Chair, is that how many Netball courts does the tournament use? The presentation indicated that six courts has been handed over to the World Cup committee. But I want to know how many of them in total that are going to be used in the tournament. Easter to share how many international tourists are estimated to be part of the Netball World Cup 2023. Has the World Cup steering committees been formed? If not, when are we expecting them? The last one, Chair, what is the status of the World Cup legacy projects to date? How will the legacy project ensure that the netball is enjoyed throughout the country, even after the World Cup 2023? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zondi. Honorable Sibiya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to everyone. Chairperson, thanks for your presentation. Firstly, lento yokuthi Chairperson siraise ama point of order and ama point of corrections while the presenter is on the platform, yes, the step. Because ama board members out of 6, they were 4. Sekumele kumuhlangano ke ngokuthi they are not all there. Ayinhle Chairperson. Again, ilungise no honorable uMhlongo. Is no harm ukuthi uma unga-apologizanga ukuthi asizukuyixoxa yini, sizoyixoxa phela if sesiraise amalokho ngani ama-question as we are given i-platform yokuthi siraise ama-question. Not point of order, point of correction, because anphelele. U-honorable Mhlongo wakhohlwa uku-apologize last meeting. There is no harm. Azange simeke sibuze ukuthi uphi simlinde aze abuye. Siyabonga Chairperson. My first question, what is the estimated return on
point
investment
of the chair?
Point of
order, chair.
Awesome. Honorable members, can other things...
point of order, chair.
Wait for our own time. Yes, honorable members.
Chairperson, what must I apologize for? I want that to be sustained. I must apologize for something that I'm not aware of. And I have the right to ask if people did not apologize to stop someone who's presenting because we did not get the apologies. I have the right. This is a free country. I can say anything when I like, when I want to, as long as it makes sense to me. Thank you.
Honorable members, you know, sometimes this problem of honorable members in this committee, of every now and then, you need to take each other up sometimes if you can just let things go and in a relevant time, correcting each other, to me, it's not showing us leadership. I do feel, honorable members, that sometimes if we cannot do this, it can help us. There was a quote here, which was quoted by Patience. I've taken both of you, your concerns, which you raised. Sometimes these things, they do want that we must try to avoid. Sometimes the chairperson, even if I've seen that this thing or that thing is not going to assist us, I've just keep quiet. Sometimes it can assist. Thank you, honorable members. I've noted your comments, both of you. I'm not sure whether honorable Sibiya was starting to ask questions. That's what these things are not healthy. Have you asked your questions, honorable member?
Chairperson?
Not yet, Chairperson.
Chairperson, point of personal explanation.
Honorable Mhlongo, it will assist you not to just call me. I was just trying not to get into what is just happening. If we can handle this thing in a manner that it will assist us all, because some of us now, I'm just not even knowing what is going on. And now you say now, Chairperson.
I'm on the platform. It's me on the platform, Chairperson.
No, I'm still on the platform. I'm still addressing what is going on in this meeting. Honorable Mhlongo, you called me while Sam was still talking.
Chair, I wanted you to rule that the members here said I must apologize on what? I did not apologize on what? And I want to rule that, am I wrong to call point of order while someone is speaking? Because, for example, when the presenter spoke, I've said point of order, why members of the board are not available. Am I wrong? I think you must rule on that. Thank you.
You even want me now to, that I must chair according to you, because I was saying that I want to avoid what you are doing, because these members, you know, Honorable Mhlongo, we have said they must not disrespect us. Where are other members? As if the half of the board members were not here. And they've explained that there are six. And if we did read their presentation, it was indicated that there are six. So two members were not here. And if maybe your question was that, why are we not having apologies, but not saying you don't respect us? Where are other members? As if it was half of that. I was just keeping quiet because at least you have raised that and they've explained. But I am not sure now what must I rule. Sometimes, honorable members on the platform, being leaders, you can get in and try to talk to each other. Sometimes I just feel that sometimes there is a deliberate of disruption in this committee. And I do want that everyone must express herself or himself. But just in between, we're having visitors, they are listening to us now, not doing what they've come to do. I'm pleading the honorable members, maybe let's address these questions that sometimes we are just doing in front of our visitors. I'm not going to rule to anything. I'm pleading that may we together correct whatever we have said and done today in this meeting during our own time. I'm pleading you, honorable members, with your respect. There's so many hands up here. I'm seeing, I don't know whether it's a legacy hands. I'm seeing Honorable Sibiya, Honorable Malomane, Honorable Dennis, Honorable Mamabulo, and maybe I'm suspecting these are hands of contribution, which I've noted. Can, with your respect to Honorable Mhlongo and Honorable Sibiya, go back to what Honorable Sibiya is supposed to do of asking and interacting with the presentation. Honorable Sibiya.
Thanks, Chairperson. And my first question, what is the estimated return on investment of hosting the World Cup? The second one, how much will the tickets cost? Will they be affordable to the general public? The last one, when will the World Cup audited financial statements be readily available for the committee to perform oversight over expenditure? I thank you, Chairperson. Yes, Bonge.
Thank you, Honorable Sibi. Honorable Malomane.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Can I switch off my video?
Yes, Honorable Malomane, very beautiful. Like your top.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to honorable members, our staff, the department, and our guests. Let me also join in welcoming the presentation from the overviews from the department and the World Cup Board. So my first question, Chair, it will be based on the composition of the board. So because the composition of the board of the Netball 2023 World Cup is mainly composed of senior departmental officials, members of Netball SA, and a representative from SASCOP, why are there no representatives from civil society as well as independent members that are not from government entities? As this is a World Cup, it includes everyone. That is my first question. The second question is that how many African teams have qualified for Netball World Cup? How does the 2023 World Cup aim to develop the sport of netball on the continent given the limited participation of African teams? I also want to put a request, especially to Netball South Africa, that please, they must be on the top six, that they mustn't qualify because they are taking part as they are the host, but they must make sure that they're on the top six so that they automatically qualify, not just because they are hosting. The other question is that on the legacy program, it stated that 20 to 30 courts upgrading and building. Can they clarify to us how many are they going to build between the 20 or to the 30 courts? And how many are they going to be upgraded? On the project plan for 2022, there are activities that were supposed to be finalized between April and May. Have these activities been finalized? If not, what the challenges are? My last question, it will be, netball in South Africa is not yet a professionalized sport. Is the situation similar globally? What plans are in place to professionalize the sport of a similar standard as seen in sporting codes like rugby, football, and cricket? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Malomane, Honorable Dennis.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, all. Thank you for the opportunity and thank you for the presentation. I just get my camera off. I would like just to request that the DG, or sorry, I would like to request to staff will take the minutes that the quotation of the DG, Madiba's quote, and also the Stephen Covey quote also be put in the minutes, please. It's very powerful and very important. Secondly, I would like to thank the ministry and the department, Netball South Africa, and all the stakeholders for their engagement thus far and the steering committees and preparing for the World Cup up to now. I think it's important and bold, positive steps been taken, and I think we are making progress. So I would like to express my appreciation to Netball South Africa. Chairperson, my first question is also linked to members that have asked before, the breakdown of the 90 million. DG must have explained that. I'm not sure what the legacy board representation means next to the 90 million in the presentation that the DG spoke about. I also would like to know, what we're going to do, what contingency plans we will have, you know, given the uncertainty about COVID, because we can't continue as if COVID don't exist, and the 50% of availability. Other words, if the tournament will happen in, you know, in the near future, and the COVID status don't change, how would Netball be able to, or government to adapt to this World Cup? Chairperson, I also would like to know who's going to pay for the fan parks and the viewing centres that will be in the provinces. We'll take financial responsibility because we do not, you know, learning from soccer World Cups and previous World Cups, that we do not want to end up with, again, facilities that are not ticketed in the legacy part of the World Cup, that are not there for continuation. I have a question, Chairperson, about the lead sponsor, the progress on that lead sponsor. What if we do not get sufficient sponsors? Not sure about the status of the economy at that time. What are we going to do? What's the fallback position if there's no lead sponsor? And what is the percentage that we expect from the lead sponsor to fall in the amount to cover the total cost of the World Cup, Netball World Cup? And then I want to support my previous member's question on the Western Cape 20 to 30 courts, the proposed. I would like to know where in the Western Cape that will be, in which municipalities and so on. And then the breakdown of the 177 million, that amount was mentioned. I didn't see it, I must be honest. But that amount was mentioned. That's the 90 million of the... that the DG mentioned, is that included in the 177 million? It looks like it. And then, of course, the full breakdown of the 177 million is very important. And then my last question, Chairperson, will the legacy projects or the provinces or the municipalities or netball clubs receive balls itself within Mark 2023 World Cup, will that be distributed to the legacy project or to the towns? And then I also want to know what is the cost of that balls in terms of the tender? Because when I buy balls for my constituency, I pay about between 149 and 250, which we do, and I'm sure many people sponsor. But what will the government pay? What will the provinces have to pay? And where is this money going to come from? If there's going to be netballs on tender that will be distributed, what will the cost of that balls be? My last point here, I'm concerned about the November event, the test events. I heard about August and Pretoria. In November, there's a question mark about November. So I'm just asking the netball leadership to really urgently make a decision, because it's not a good sign if we don't have medium of long-term planning. I'm sure they are finalizing it, but it's important that that information comes out. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Appreciate the presentation. Thank you.
Honorable Maloman, thank you, Honorable Dennis. Honorable Mamabulo, sorry.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. firstly, I want to appreciate the presentation. It's a good one, man. It reminds me of the 2010 LOC. They were well prepared, Abu Dhani Jordan. They knew their days, their welcoming days, the launch, gala dinners, the program and everything. And I'm also impressed with even this one. Even this one, they know a date. I mean, they're thinking about June and July next year. So we can show that they are well prepared and we're going to have a very wonderful World Cup. We all wish to be there. I mean, even the number of scientists have been activated. They're going well, very well, even though they gave me double XL T-shirts. Maybe they thought it was yours, Honorable Chairperson. Yeah, it's going well. My question is only one or two regarding the fan parks. The fan parks, are you taking them to the townships or to the cities, to the suburbs? Because if you take them to townships, they may have a larger crowd, like what we have seen during the World Cup in 2010. The last question will be around the mobilization in villages and townships. How are you doing that? Because I want to see everybody having this T-shirt of Netball Fridays. Other than that, Chairperson, I don't have much to say. I'm impressed, and we should be seen supporting such initiatives as government leaders. We can't always be lambasting people to say, no, hey, where's the report? Hey, where's the what? Hey, when I... we must always be seen being positive and being positive people of South Africa. And proud South Africans, and also patriotism is very important to get to this matter, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mamabulo. My very few questions. Let me take this opportunity to thank the presentation. The only thing that also I want to check from the department, UDG was saying that out of that 90 million, you are going to give them in tranches. When did your first tranche and the last tranche going to start? And then the second question, I'm still hearing the presentation saying that you are still going to appoint LOC members. What are they going to do? And what skills do you want when you are still going to appoint more people? What are you short of? I may ask that the recruitment for other committees, the local people are going to benefit, let alone the officials, those who are in the LOC, but the local people, how are they going to benefit in this tournament, which is you really on the spot in your preparation? But I don't hear what are the creation of jobs through this, because in some other times, past 2030, the building of stadiums and maybe the local people, if you can tell us, what do you see your good selves with the local leadership I'm not talking up of the officials, the local who can benefit in whatever we are talking, your fan park, your hospitality, your transport. So in order that when some of us having constituents here and we having our own government, whose provincial government, we must know what is it that we must also trying to concretize and mobilize and take care to the people that this is coming event and you can benefit APC. I thank you. If I can take it back to the presenter, patients, and you locate your colleagues for the responses and UTG after you have exhausted your questions. I thank you.
thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I don't know whether I should start or it should be the DG that...
It must be you.
Okay, thank you very much. Right. As we respond, some, as you said, I'll give to board members and the office team to assist on responding. In terms of the questions from Honorable Mhlongo, I'm not clear about the first one around NSA versus the board, but I think it must be clear that our responsibility as a board, it's for us to manage the project, the delivery of the World Cup. In terms of awarding of the event has been awarded to NSA, but obviously in terms of the heads of terms as it is, NSA has been given a responsibility to establish an organizing committee, and that's why now there's this board that has been put together to run with the event. And in terms of the structure, as per the bid document that we got, it's the responsibility of the board to appoint the LOC. As I said, we have appointed Ms. Priscilla Masisi. She's the tournament director. And maybe just to even respond to Honorable Member Veronica, we don't have a CEO. Our CEO is the tournament director. So she's the one who's going to be heading the LOC. The board's responsibility around the issue of appointment of the LOC has been mainly about the senior management team. Already we've appointed the tournament director. We've appointed the head of finance and administration. We've just concluded, the panel has just concluded on the head of marketing, which the board is going to finalize in its board meeting on Thursday. And then there's two other outstanding positions at a high level, which is the head of operations, but also we've received CVs, and the tournament director is going to be getting involved in terms of how to deal with that. And then the other one is more about the technical appointment. So at that high level, in terms of senior management, it's the board's responsibility. And maybe I must indicate as well to you, Honorable Chair, that we just didn't want to appoint some of the heads before appointing the tournament director. I think one of our delays was the appointment of tournament director. We should have done it last year, but unfortunately we had to re-advertise the position. But I think there's momentum since Cecilia has come through, and she's pushing to make sure that is taken care of. I'll on the issues of the duties, I'll ask my colleagues to do that, but maybe let me respond to the ones that I'll be able to, and then I'll ask them to respond to the others. On issues of secondment, as a board, we've agreed that, I mean, in honesty, currently, we're only left with 14 months before the event, and we are aware that other people might not be interested to take jobs for just 1 year. And that's why in terms of our strategy around the workforce,
we have agreed that we look at it twofold. One will be through our recruitment policy, where we'll do adverts and all that. But even the issue of secondment, we need to have a plan, and I must just indicate that how secondment is going to be done. If you're going to appoint a person on a secondment position and the person is earning a particular salary, ours is to add if that person has been earning less. But if it's over, then those are the discussions that we're going to have when we do those kind of appointments. Maybe let me just deal with the Honorable Mhlongo's one. Can I request Blanche, can you please just respond to the duties of tournament director and also the head of marketing, just in brief to indicate their responsibilities?
Who's that?
Blanche?
I've opened the document. Apologies, Madam Chair and Honourable Madam Beauty. Yes, the job description of the tournament director, which is seen by World Netball as one of the most important roles to play in delivering a very successful tournament. So the tournament director will work closely with the World Netball technical delegate, as well as the 2023 board, ensuring compliance with all governing laws, policies and procedures, compliance with all World Netball regulations and requirements. Madam, this is one of the World Netball, which in the time when we signed agreement is with INF, is the biggest income generator for World Netball. They don't have other income generations or generative events apart from world events. Therefore, there's clear guidelines and there's clear mentioning in the heads of terms how the funding should be spent as well. So the tournament director is also responsible for drafting and overseeing implementation of the overall events plan, which will include operational, marketing, communication, technical and others which I can't think of now. Strategic planning and organization. This is a big, big duty for her. Ensuring the achievement of strategies with all the heads of the workforce. She also needs to develop and maintain strategic relationships and the ability to build trust and confidence with the stakeholders. Developing and achieving high quality strategies that align with the objectives of the World Cup 2023. We are guided by the INF Event and Commercial Operations Manual, and she's the caretaker to follow those steps very, very carefully. Consistent, continuous, careful, prudent supervision of operations to guarantee the success of the international event. Initiating and confirming high quality investment decisions in order to ensure maximized overall profits. A very close staff member in the office would be the head of finance. Providing leadership and tactical support to all our functional teams, ensuring that all organizational systems, policies, reflect our core values. She also needs to coordinate and ensure strong execution across the leadership team in accordance with the strategic event plan and drive strong cross-team collaboration. And that is one of her biggest jobs as well. Overseeing financial strategy, supporting the finance and legal team in the development of financial models, budget analysis, leverage data to drive key operational decisions. Working with the head of finance to implement a long-term strategy that is operationally and financially sound. Responsible in accounting for the control of income, cash flow and expenditure, together with the head of finance. Engaging directly with the board to ensure financial transparency and to communicate key financial and operational goals and priorities. Working with the head of finance and other team leaders to implement a defined performance measurement system underlying metrics, the KPAs, it's her duty. Establishing operational benchmarks and resources needed to achieve strategic goals, proactively driving improvements as necessary, working concert with a leadership team to set standards and accountability and clearly defined measurements of success. It is also her duty to report regularly on the work of the LOC to the board and obviously to World Netball. There were other questions raised, which if Chair allows me to, the World Netball owns the World Cup. They've given us the right to host it. The guidelines, the financial guidelines is clear according to the heads of terms. So we if you want to bid to host, some of the honorable members mentioned the amounts, which was somewhere. So we pay a member congress subsidy fee. We pay international development fund fee. We pay a sanction fee. We forecast a surplus. Our first bid didn't succeed because we didn't project £1 million profit, which is one of the criteria for World Netball. If you want, you need to project a guarantee a surplus of £1 million. So we had a guaranteed element of forecast surplus after we revisited our budget after our visit to the UK. We came back and project over £1 million to be distributed as INF surplus share. That money, 55% will go to the World Netball and the balance are shared 25% to the hosting country and the rest to the other countries. That is a guaranteed surplus that we have to do. Then we also had a commitment of sharing funds, part of the surplus with participating members and also INF surplus share, yeah, that I've mentioned to you. We've got clear guidelines of where to support financially, and that was for development fund, knowledge of transfer program, and then also the legacy plan. Those are all the commitments financially. We are different from rugby. Honourable Chair, we pay and then we have to make money. The purpose of Netball South Africa to bid to host the request was really to get us closer to that professional side. We have a telecom league running semi-professional, but we want a league like in Australia, New Zealand and England where our players are playing to run after this World Cup. So we're taking very well care of the income versus the expenses to enable Netball South Africa to be self-sufficient and become leaders financially in that area. Yes, and we are very, very experienced in hosting. We've been hosting the Quad Series between Australia, New Zealand, England and South Africa in South Africa, and we traveled there, was home and away, for 5 years. And that was the reason why World Netball and the top countries identified us as a country that has all the means and support and good governance. That's why they've approached us to bid to host. January 2023 event is a Quad Series. It is very clear stated in our contracts with World Netball that Netball South Africa's business and World Cup 2023's business should be separated. You run your business because World Cup is 10 days, gone and away. It's like a Christmas. You see it once in 4 years, and we won't easily see it back in South Africa. So we need to carry on with our events as planned. We have obligations towards our sponsors. But the January event is a very carefully planned event with top countries. And to the honourable members, you mustn't qualify this. We present, I'm going to give you good news. We are number 5, so we automatically qualify. I think I've answered what I could. If I missed anything, I can make answer later.
Thank you very much, Flange. Thank you for that. And then the on the issue of have we met as a board with Netball South Africa executive? I can safely confirm that we've not met with NSA executive, but just to indicate that within our board we've got 2 members of NSA, which is the CEO and the president, and our view is that in all deliberations and all that, we also view that they are able to give that kind of a feedback to them. But I must say that as a board, we had agreed that in terms of stakeholder relations management, it will also be important that we must actually have meetings with our stakeholders so that we have a sense in terms of expectations. Because at the end of the day, some of the key stakeholders is more enablers for us as a board to ensure that we really deliver the best ever event. In terms of audited financial statement, I'll ask our head of finance to do that. But let me continue, Honorable Chair, and say, in terms of the, there was a question from Honorable Member Veronica around the issue of Africa Day, where they're asking how much of money have we received from Africa Netball. And just to indicate that, you know, when this bid was won, it was very clear that the bid is mainly for South Africa, but also for the continent. And ours being seen sometimes as a big brother to some of the countries in the continent, our responsibility is actually to ensure that we share. And I think that's what also happened from the FIFA 2010 in terms of them working with the region or the continent. On issues of board salaries, there's no board salaries that are being paid to us. So I can safely say to the meeting that we're not receiving anything as board members. obvious, one of the things that we've been advised, and thank you again to both the Honourable Minister, the DM, and also the DG, is that bachindlela ibuzo kwabaphambili, and we've been asked that as this board, it would be good that we must actually go and sit with people that led the FIFA 2010, so that we can be able to see in terms of some of their systems, how they ran this kind of thing. But I just need to assure and say, as a board, our responsibility is to ensure that after this event, Netball is been put in a different level. From where it is, it must really become a professional sport and actually be the biggest women in sport structure in the country. In terms of the netball courts, I'm just going to indicate that we're going to use 4 courts at the venue for the event, but there's also about 6 courts which are external that are going to be used more for training for our teams that are going to be there. Steering committees have not yet, honourable, steering committees have not yet been established. You know, the delay on us in appointing our TD has actually made us to move slower instead of faster than what we expected. But as I said, there's momentum and we're putting in place a lot of things now. And in our discussion with World Netball, we said to them, we're just hoping that by end of this year, most of the things will be in place. And I think we'll be able to provide a further update in terms of how we're progressing on that. On the issue of the status on legacy project, I'm going to ask Dr. Lindenbauer to talk about how they've progressed from the Western Cape, because I think they've completed, and I think in the mix he can also even talk about where were those facilities done within the Western Cape. And then lastly, I'll also ask just, I don't know if the executive member from NSA is here, the one who's handling the aspect of legacy from the side of NSA. Linda.
Good morning, Chair and honourable members. This is Lyndon Bower. I'm from the provincial government of the Western Cape, and I will respond on the legacy aspects. So thank you very much for the opportunity. In terms of the question that the honourable member has asked about our legacy, at this stage, we're counting 51 courts that we have either upgraded or constructed, and we're also looking at the toilets that we have also established. And I will just give a list of the municipalities that we have signed agreements with, and they are in various stages of completion depending on where their tender processes were or are. In we started off, Chairperson, with in 1920 financial year, we had the West Coast, Swartland, Garden Route, Mossel Bay and George, and then the City of Cape Town at the Stephen Regan Complex. We opened with Deputy Minister Mafu. We opened up a toilet facilities as well as a change room. We believe that when we talk the upgrade and construction of courts, then upgrade must also mean that our female players must have the ability to change in a cloakroom so that the dignity is protected and that we move away from cars and so forth. So we believe that that is also part of the establishment of the upgrading of the netball courts. So one or two municipalities have opted to also utilize part of the funding to upgrade those aspects. Then we continued, we went to Essequa, which is in Riversdale, and in Essequa they have now completed the upgrade of 5 courts in that area, and we are hoping to open those courts on the 28th of July, which is the 1-year activation. We also have courts in Langeberg, in Robertson, as well as in Swellendam at the Powell Sport Ground. We also have courts in Bredasdorp. We also have courts in Saldanha at the Ronnie Lowe. Then we also in Bergrivier in the West Coast, we have at Rhino Park in Piketberg, Swartland, it's Darling and Kalbaskraal. We also have in the Mossel Bay, Grootbrock area, and then in Prince Albert, we also have the multipurpose courts, and they've indicated to me that they're using part of our funding to build the ablution facilities and the change rooms at the 2 courts that they have as well. And then we also have Matsikama, Doringbaai Sports Field, Netball Courts, Stellenbosch is Groendal Sport Grounds, Langeberg, Montague and Ashton, Drakenstein, Weltevrede Sport Field, Kleinmond Sport Facility in the Overberg, and then at Oudtshoorn Park, we also will be having courts that is being constructed. So we, what I will do, Chair, with your permission, is I will send to the Chair the number of courts and the number of the upgraded and the new courts. At the moment, my figures that I have says 9 being upgraded, 9 being constructed new, but I just want to confirm that physically, and then we will make the distinction between upgrade and constructed. I think it's a very important distinction that the Honourable Member has asked, as my figures at the moment only has courts and not the distinction, but we will certainly make that. And we've also added the 3 multipurpose courts that the National Department of Sport, Arts and Culture has established in Stellenbosch, as well as in Lanesburg and in Beaufort West. So at this stage, Madam Chair, we have 51 on our books that we are in various areas being formatted, but the important one for us is that in every district in the Western Cape, there will be that. In terms of the second question about the fan parks, in the Western Cape, we have budgeted 5 million rand towards fan parks and viewing centres for the Western Cape. We are currently busy addressing all municipalities in the Western Cape and inviting them to be a partner with us. We've indicated to them that we are busy with the final costings now, but it will have to be a 50-50 partnership with municipalities, as the provincial government and the Netball World Cup Board will not be able to cover all expenditure. We're making a distinction, honourable members and chairperson, between a fan park, as you traditionally know it, with some of the merchandising and some of the artists, etc., and a viewing centre. A viewing centre can be a civic centre, a community hall, a two-song centre, anywhere where you can put up a screen, because then you don't need all the other merchandising to take place. Mm-hmm. So we're busy with those discussions about viewing centres and fan parks at the moment. So from our side, as the Western Cape, we have budgeted for that. And I will leave the question of the other provinces to patients as a board and chairperson, as well as to Ms. Masisi. So I think those are the key questions for me. Patients, I hand back to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This is a very important information, and we'll accepting and we'll welcome the information if you can give us according to your dula or your drunkest in your West Coast. According to that, we'll accept that. Thank you. Patience.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. can I request either Blanche or a member of NSA just to talk about the legacy from their side? I know they've already started with training around the country, and also they've done a bit for Botswana as well. So can I just allow members of NSA to talk to that issue around about the status of legacy project to date?
Madam Chair, if I may introduce our director coaching, so took full responsibility for that development and attendance. Just before that, Honourable Chair, I just forgot to answer on the Super Sport 54 million, and it's an important answer from our side in Netball South Africa. The amount is not correct, but it's not for World Netball. Our sponsor came on board, as they did with the rugby in 2019, and said, we want your team to train as much as possible. We will fund this whole process. It's called Project Victory. They accommodated in Stellenbosch, and they get...
What's going on?
I think we... I don't know whether we lost her.
Yeah.
Okay. Can the director be able to respond while we lost on the issue of the legacy?
Good morning, Honorable Chair. I'm Annelie Lucas. I am the director coaches Netball South Africa, and I am also the one that is driving the international legacy program for Netball. The countries that we envisioned assisting was Botswana, Ghana, and USA. We decided to start with Botswana. We will assist them with preparing their national team for the upcoming African qualifiers. And then we will assist these three countries in developing their coaching staff, more coaches. So 15 coaches from these three countries will be trained as coaches. And we've divided this in phases. So we have four phases that we will work on. And phase one was to ask them to assist us with the name of the potential coaches. We will host 4-day coaching programs with them. Our phase two will be going back to the countries to assist with facilitation throughout the year. Our phase three will be to assist them to get their level 2 accreditation. And then we will also assist them to try and facilitate us to grow the sport and the coaches in their country. So we will assist with a structured framework moving forward with their coaching system. So that was the vision for assisting the international countries and our international legacy program.
Thank you, Director. Honorable Chair, maybe let me also respond to, I see most of the questions are also around funding and marketing, and I'm going to give this to our Tournament Director and our Head of Finance and Administration to respond to as the last part. But I just also need to indicate that on the question from Honorable Malumane, obviously we're just waiting for the qualifier, the Africa qualifier, then we can be able to respond to his question around how many African teams have qualified. But maybe for now, can I request the TD to respond to the whole issue around our strategy around fan parks and all that? Because at the end of the day, one of the critical aspects from our side, once we've appointed the head of marketing, that's going to be the person that is going to drive that whole marketing aspect for the event. And then also I'll ask Gerardo to talk to the issues of finances, including the audited financial statements. Tournament Director.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. In terms of our activation, we are basically going to be targeting the existing school leagues to create hype on the ground. And we'll also include hamper giveaways during this school's league visits. And also what we will be doing is to ensure that the activation will also be at the netball leagues across the country for professional lower league clubs and social leagues. So we'll also be doing the activations, ensuring that our district together with NSA are very active on the ground, and also to ensure that even in rural areas, we reach those kids in the rural areas and townships. So the activation won't be only in the urban areas. We're also going to be doing our road shows. We'll be having the portable nets and stand hoops and balls. And also throughout our activation, our broadcast partners will also be on site so that we can capture all these activation campaigns that we'll be engaging on, and to ensure that everybody has an ability to see and are in, also part of the program. The Western Cape will have a bigger focus as the host province, and will have more marketing activities going in there. So we will be doing the activations at the malls as well, the schools, the university, and the airport.
Ma? Did you show your face?
No. Oh.
We do want those beautiful faces here.
Okay, yeah, Emma.
She is before the members are calling you to stop because they didn't see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can switch off now.
So that is our activation plan and the mobilization. So just to assure honorable members that it won't be only in the urban areas, but we'll target the townships and the rural areas to ensure that everyone is covered. In terms of creation of jobs, we are going to be having a volunteer program where we'll be employing local peoples to ensure that they are also part of the World Cup. And in terms of the job opportunities, there will be the hospitality. In terms of hospitality, I think we are in negotiations with the Southern Sun to be also to come on board as the sponsor. So mainly it will be around the Southern Sun, but we are also going to be using local travel agencies to provide the ticketing. Also companies will also ensure that it's local companies. The transport and also the creative artists will also be involved. We are going to be launching our mascot in the 28th of July as a run-up to our 365 days countdown. So that creative artist who will be doing the mascot will also be local people within the country. So that's in terms of our job creation strategies that will also make sure that everyone is involved and is part of the process. And I think the other question was on the netball courts. We are buying 13 courts, the wooden sprung floors. We will be using 9 for the World Cup. The other ones, in terms of our legacy program, 2 have to go to the African countries, and the one will be remaining with netball. And the other ones will be going to other provinces after the World Cup. But the ones that we're going to be actually using, it will be 9 for the World Cup. We are going to be having 4 external venues, training venues. So the 4 will be used at the locations that will be identified by the city together with NSA and the province, which will be training venues outside the city ICC, because in the city ICC we'll only have 2 playing venues and 2 warm-up venues. So the external training venues will also have to use those netball courts. The sprung floors will also be installed there on the external venues, training venues. In terms of the finance, I will ask Gerardo Odendal, our CFO, to do a breakdown on the finances. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Priscilla.
Thank you, President.
We must try to be faster. At 12:30, there are those members who are going to board the bus, going to the plenary. So we're still having one item that we're not yet get it on. You're supposed to end this discussion at 11, according to location of time. If you still have something before I give DG, let me give it that. I'm not yet calling hands. I'm still saying that they must finish their answering questions, and I must give DG also. Maybe if I'm seeing hands, maybe some of the answers, they will be coming from the department. Let's wait, honorable members. Patience.
Thank you, Mike. Can Gerald speak, and then after that, I'm going to allow the DDG as part of our board as well to respond to some of the things. Thank you very much, Chair. Gerald?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair, and honorable members. Excuse me, I'm a bit sick. Hopefully, the question earlier by one of the members around COVID is not something that's applicable to me at this stage. All good in the office and excited to continue with our planning. I will respond quickly on some of the questions on the finance.
Thank you. I was going to say we've seen you can take off your veto. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. On the question on the audited financial statements, the financial statements have been completed for the year end 30 March 2022, also for April and for May this year. We are presenting those numbers to the board meeting on Thursday, upon which we can appoint an independent auditor to complete the auditing. I cannot see that will take a lot of time to complete. A lot of the expenditure is only coming in the next financial year, so that should be a fairly easy task for us to complete fairly quickly. And then just on to respond on the breakdown of the 170 million, a big portion of that is commercial funding, and the other portion is public funding. Of the public funding, I think we've answered the majority of the questions around the 90 million. So far, we've received the first two tranches. We've also expended all the money on the first tranche, and we are busy to commit the money on the second tranche of 30 million. We are reporting, to Dr. Lyndon Bauer's department around those tranches and in accordance with the memorandum of understanding that we've got with them. And then the commercial funding, which is for tickets and for sponsorship and for broadcast, is going very well at this stage. I think I'm not going to elaborate too much on that, but there's a really good plan in place to hopefully exceed our budget forecasts on those numbers. I think if nothing else specifically, there's nothing else specifically on finance that I'd like to touch on now.
Thank you so much.
Let
me give to DG. DG, I've forgotten that DG is part of your good sense. Yes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Board, and good morning, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, and
show
members.
Okay,
there we are. Good morning, Chairperson. Yes, it is me. Thanks a lot. Chairperson, thanks a lot, and thanks for the opportunity to speak as a board member at this forum. Chairperson, let me indicate and also emphasize what the colleague, Ms. Delaguer, had to indicate, that there are two separate entities. Netball South Africa is a federation, and Netball, the World Cup Board, is a company that is wholly owned by Netball South Africa. So we are accountable to them, and hence they have two board members. On the question of why is the board only made up of government officials, Madam Chair, let me just quickly in my other role indicates that Netball South Africa since 2013. In 2013, they were the Federation of the Year. And when they become the Federation of the Year, they get extra support to actually improve on an area of their work. And in Netball South Africa, it was the first step towards professionalization. And hence, it gave birth to the Netball Premier League. It was called the Brutal Fruit Premier League. And it's evolved now, Madam Chair, to become the Telkom Netball League. And you will see that through that process, the Netball players had started to get some remuneration towards when they participated. You know, their fees, very small amounts. They got Player of the Year incentives, etc., to the extent that some of them even started to ply their trade in other leagues in Europe, in England and in Australia and in New Zealand, etc. So those are the good stories coming out of there. And I think, Madam Chair, the next step was for us to host a World Cup. And Netball South Africa then came to government to say, government, we want to do this. We do not have all the funds. Please, can you support us? And the three spheres of government then supported them. And we didn't even go to cabinet at that stage, Madam Chair, to say in terms of the bidding and hosting of events, you will go to cabinet to say we need money from cabinet, because the three spheres of government then committed to funding this World Cup. And hence you would see, Madam Chair, that 90 million has been, provided by the National Department of Sport, and the other two tiers of government have also committed funding towards this. So as is indicated by the finance, the CFO, to say the in three tranches, 30 million rands a year was given through the Department of Sport in Western Cape, who has signed an agreement with the Netball World Cup Board. And that expenditure on an annual basis, it has been accounted for through the Netball, through the Western Cape Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. So, Madam Chair, I think we've done, that's the support we've given, because remember, this is one of the codes of sport that's number one, a priority code of sport. It's one of the big five. It focuses on women. So we had to support this because it's one of the bigger codes of sport. The first time ever Netball has put their hand out to host this World Cup. So we had to get behind this code and support them to grow the footprint of Netball, which is mostly a women's code of sport, throughout the country. I think the important thing we must also indicate, Madam Chair, is that, you know, Netball can be played on any surface, but we need to move towards the professionalization as well. And hence, with the Netball sports courts as a legacy, with we believe that we can move towards where they will be playing on the wooden floors, and that was the other legacy that we committed to as well. So, Madam Chair, I think our support, the support that we've got from government as a whole, is helping to get this World Cup off the ground. And I know that there are questions around why isn't the board made up of other partners and civil society and etc. But Madam Chair, we're a very small board, and this is an event that is confined to one province. It's not like the FIFA World Cup where you had 32 teams in 8 provinces. So it was much bigger. It was a bigger tournament. Here you've got 16 teams be playing in one province. You also look at the number of people that can be accommodated in the venue. It's a small number of people. So if you're looking at the economic benefits to the country, it will not be the same as rugby or netball or even cricket or football or even cricket. So the profits are going to be much smaller, even to netball. But importantly, Madam Chair, we want to make sure that the youngest child or the young girl in the rural area will be able to enjoy the benefits that this World Cup brings. And as the chairperson has said, after the World Cup, we want to see a change in netball. We want to see professionalization. We want to see more clubs. We want to see good governance. And I think Netball South Africa has demonstrated over the years, Madam Chair, that they can host major events. So the questions that are being asked of what's going to happen about the Africa Cup, and we're worried about, you know, this event that's going to come, the qualifiers. The Telkom Netball League is being hosted live on TV. We can all see the organization that has gone into it, the administration. So they have really vast capacity. They have the capacity to host those events. And I believe, Madam Chair, together, collectively, We want to see the best ever Netball World Cup on African soil. SuperSport has committed to making sure they have a full female host of broadcast personnel that will be broadcasting this World Cup as well. So that is also in ensuring that we affirm young women. So that will be a first ever, I think, in a World Cup where all women will be broadcasting, will be in the broadcast team. And if you look at Netball South Africa as well, the team, we want to make sure that at the end of the day, we can't be hosting any event and we don't win. So all the support is now also behind the team to make sure that we win. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I think there's a lot of the questions that have already been covered. And the whole idea is to get the country also behind this World Cup. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, DG. Thank you so much, DG. Can
thank you so much, DG. Thank you, Chairperson. No, thanks, Chairperson. I think the colleagues have covered a lot of ground. The only thing that also the question about the spread of the 90 million was covered by Gerard, and that the first trenches and the second trenches have been done. What is left now is the last 30 million rand that we will then disperse. Is it included in the 177 million? Yes, I think that's correct. And that is the overall budget. Will we run at a loss or at a profit? We believe that we're planning for a profit because a lot of sponsorship and the broadcasting rights will also assist over and above the ticket sales that are aimed at making sure that this is not run at a loss. The issue of the COVID plan or alternative, yes, there are measures that are in place that have been discussed, but at this stage, as soon as the full constitution of the committee and the net joins, they will be looking at all possible risks that would be associated with this, including in particular the issue of what happens if it is we are faced with a pandemic at that time, but that has been considered as one of the risk areas that the team then will be clear about the concrete plans as we get closer, but as part of the bigger risk plan that has already been identified, Chairperson, as one of the things we'll have to mitigate. There was then a question in relation to to who will pay for the fan parks, as we did indicate, Chairperson, and that will be in relation to what Western Cape will be doing. Sorry, the City of Cape Town and Western Cape have committed they will be doing. But Minister has been engaging with his counterparts in the MECs to see where they can contribute so that even in the provinces where this won't be taking place, the South African citizens are able to watch and enjoy. And that is where that is what we call the MINMEC assist with that matter on how they can best support what Honorable Mamabolo was raising about the township and the rural areas or villages, how they can benefit in this regard. And I'm sure that with those engagements with the MECs, who have committed to say they will do the best they can to support this, well, one of the key things would be access to that. I'm not sure if the team, Honorable Chairperson, responded on the issue of the affordability of the ticket sale. And that was a question that was raised about the cost structure of the ticket. And I thought that maybe either the CEO will talk to that or Gerard, the CFO, in this regard, Chairperson, just so that the colleagues so they answer that question. Mm-hmm. But I think, Chairperson, the breakdown of the budget, and it's available and we will be able to provide that as Gerard is committed, and that we will then give the committee those breakdown of what are the cost drivers and how did we get to this? It was a huge exercise we had to do, from initiated by the interim committee at the time, and then as a board to finalize the budget and the cost drivers, and the South they could come to the 177 million rand. I think we will just share that just to save time for now, Chairperson. But all those things have been factored. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, teacher. Honorable members, Simpio.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the members of the committee. I think there was just
Can
one.
Honorable members, lower their hands. Honorable members, please. Yes, Simpio.
DG, good morning, and good morning to the members of the board as well. I think there was one request made on the legacy court in Gauteng, where exactly it is. It is 295 Silupitema Street, Mohlakeng, Randfontein. Thank you.
Any member of the team wanted to say something that you think that it's not answered? Thank you, Simpio. I was having the hand of Honorable of Sumai.
Thank you very much.
And Priscilla. Honorable members, I'll come to you. Yes.
Madam Chair, I think we didn't respond to the issue around the legacy project. And will there be equipment, attire, et cetera, that supports it? And then what will be the cost? And how will government pay, et cetera? I think it came from Honorable Dennis. I think what we need to indicate that with the legacy projects that we're building, the multipurpose sports court, it's a standard, Madam Chair, when we build any multipurpose
Honorable
sports
Dennis,
court.
Lower your hand. Just a moment, I've noticed the hands, but I was still, as I'm chairing, saying that to the team, they must finalize the questions, and then from there, I'll call the hands. Let's give the team to answer our questions. DDG.
No, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I was saying, when we build the multipurpose sports court, and as we hand it over, we always provide equipment and attire, not only for netball, but also for the other courts of sport. Because, Madam Chair, those are multipurpose sports courts. So those five courts that are that can be played on the court, but in this case now for the legacy, there's a special court only for netball as well. So we will provide equipment and attire when we hand over those legacy courts to those schools once they complete it. And how do we procure it? Yes, Madam Chair, we will follow the government procurement processes to procure the equipment and attire for those legacy projects. And when we go into the provinces as well, these form part of the outreach programs. The provinces then also procure equipment and attire for these multipurpose sports courts. So, Madam Chair, it will follow a government procurement process. We cannot tell you what the cost is, but we are working. We have a transversal tender where we look at costs, you know, ensuring that we negotiate costs with suppliers, et cetera, so that there is uniformity in price. And this is based on a benchmark that we do when we actually award the tender for equipment and attire. The Netball World Cup, Netball South Africa.
Try to be fast. DDG,
okay.
We don't have enough time.
I'm done, Madam Chair. Netball can speak about the Netball World Cup and how.
Please don't relax, colleagues of DG, when you're answering us. We don't have enough time. Any other input?
I think, thank you, Honourable Chair.
Honourable Chair, I thought maybe Priscilla wanted to respond to the issue of ticket affordability. So that's why she raised her hand. Priscilla?
Please.
Thank you, Chairperson. We're finalizing the pricing for the tickets, but basically we'll be having three categories of tickets sales. We are going to be doing stationary tickets, whereby we sell them per sessions. We will be having the expensive ones, middle one, and we'll also be having the cheap ones. We'll be only using two arenas at the CTICC. So the first arena, where the main games will be, it's got a seating capacity of around 4,800, and the arena two is got about 1,000 seating capacity, where we are mainly going to be selling lower end tickets, and we're also going to be accommodating school children in there that will be coming to view the games. So in terms of the exact pricing, we haven't finalized on that. Once we finalize on that, we'll share it with the members of the parliament. I think the other question also that we didn't respond to is on the cost of the ball. The World Cup ball is fully sponsored by the Gilbert through the World Netball, and we haven't finalized on the pricing for the replica ball. We will be expecting that ball. That ball, we're expecting it to arrive in July in the country, and thereafter, then we'll sit with our commercial team to look at the replica balls, how much will they be costing once we have decided on that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Now, let me caution the honorable members about their time. I was having a hand from Honorable Veronica, hand from Honorable Mhlongo, hand from Honorable Dennis, just to be hand from Honorable Zond, brief to the point, honorable members. I thank you.
Chairperson, I think the question I have is important. I just want to double check. The COO has been appointed is also, I just want to find out, is SASCOP involved in any way? Because the minister appointed the COO of the SASCOP board, and if the board for some reason would be reported to SASCOP, then would there not be an inflict of interest, if a conflict of interest, if the CEO is also then the chairperson of the Netball World Cup? Just clarity on that one.
Thank you, honorable member. Point taken. Honorable Mhlongo.
Thank you, Chair. I think Basalangat, you are playing with us. How can you have a total cost of sales here, 12 million, but you did not finalize the ticket sales pricing? What analyze the total 12 million ticket sales? Why do you don't know exactly how much the ticket pay? Expensive, cheap, middle? How did you come up to the 12 million? One of the things you have asked, the structure of the top management, can we get that? The recruitment part, but the body is dealing with that. I think they must send it to us. Another issue I've asked that I must go and see for myself, there's a primary school in Gauteng that has been earmarked, and I want to go there. Where is it in Gauteng? Because Gauteng is big. It's primary school in Gauteng. Where in Gauteng? And I want to go and see for myself. Chair, another issue, I think I want to not to support the issue of Indela Ibiza, Gabapandi. You cannot ask SAFA and this project. It's totally different. And SAFA that disadvantage, when you check Fund Valley, it's still there. It's a white elephant. There's nothing happening. You ask Valley for money for 2010 and this one. I don't think in Valley is all about funding. On that note, Chair, I think the question again of finances, I think they must come back to us with finances and table it exactly. How did it come? Right now on their finances, it's 36 million. That is earmarked a legacy cost, 36.1 million. Can they give us details exactly how did they come to that? I think the finances, I think they must come back to us and tell us exactly. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. Honorable Dennis.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the second opportunity. I just want to make a comment. I note the run-up to the World Cup, the participation of Africa and African regions. But to deal with this Big Brother perception, I want to suggest that when the minister or the presidency hosts that event, just prior to the World Cup, that the leadership from Africa or the AU or some senior leadership in the sports also be invited to that event to make Africa leadership also part of the last phase before the World Cup. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Dennis. Honorable Zondi.
Thanks, Chair. We are informed and we thank the committee for that. Just one question from the department, UDG Director, Chair. How is the department monitoring the implementation of the commitments made from sister department through the IMC, noting that its last meeting as per the presentation was in September last year? And what is the progress on the resolutions of the first IMC? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sondi. Honorable Maloman.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My question at Dulu Bay is to say on the department, to say what has the department projected the potential socio-economic impact of hosting the Netball World Cup? What are the potential impacts and how is the interministerial committee ensuring there is a maximum benefit that ensures that the impact is redistributed beyond the legacy? The other one, it will be how will the NWC 2023 company and the board ensure that World Cup fan parks and World Cup incorporates local businesses to create economic opportunity for the youth, women, and people with disability, and what are the its target? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malumane. Can I give everyone within 5 minutes, you must finish answering, starting with the leader of the board, Patience, till to the DG. Your 5 minutes is even too much, but because we want answers, let me give it to you.
I think it will be unfair, yes, for the chairperson to respond on the edge of conflict of interest. Maybe I must just say that when that time arises and there is such an issue, there are various measures to deal with conflict of interest, such as recusal and having independent members dealing with any matter that might arise if it has to be involving the board and SAS caucus to then attend to the matter. So it will be addressed independently and fairly, and I hope that also in the most transparent and accountable manner, should such a matter arise. I would like to assure the members of that the department will also then, working with the SAS caucus, ensure that that indeed does not compromise the integrity of this project, and whether post it or during the project itself as we host the World Cup. Chairperson, I think Babu Mhlongo, mhlambe bene mistake nje wathi ukuphazamiseka, uSimphiwe gave a full address yokuthi kuyiwa kuphi uma uthi uya kulesikole, wazi washo ukuthi emhlakeni wanika ngisho street address. Bamhlongo mhlambe-ke akezwanga at that time, but the address was given. And then the structure that has been requested, as well as the project breakdown, as we had said, we will submit. And I'm sure we will honor that, as the chair also has indicated, that we then submit such a breakdown so that everybody knows. Because Honorable Dennis had raised also detailed questions around the issue of the budget. And then Honorable Nomane, on the issue of monitoring, Honorable Zondi, monitoring and working with other departments, we indicated earlier that first and foremost, we've got a director general a technical IMC in which then we meet and the progress is reported, and also reports will be submitted in those meetings as we then look at the progress made by each department on their commitments. And that is what we do. That is why we ask them to put it in writing, and we will use that then as a dashboard to monitor progress as we meet them in these meetings, or as when we ask them to submit reports to the team in the department. And that is why the members of the team are also here, who then follow up with those departments at the time. Then on the issue raised around socioeconomic impact, one of the areas why these other departments are involved, like the Department of Forest, Fishery and Environment, and what their commitments are, they are focusing exactly on some of those areas, like when we talk of pollution and what the impact is both on health and as well as the hosting of that event, the cleanliness, what happens there. We will be working with them as Department of Forest, Fishery and Environment, but also with GTIC that looks at it also trade and the economic impact that is going to accrue. But there are projections on what we believe would be the return on investment in this regard. And we believe that is just through tourism alone, there will be a huge return on investment in the particularly in the city of Cape Town, and then broadly in the Western Cape, as well as then, unfortunately, as explained, that this is very limited in terms of hosting, but we are working with the provinces to look at how else the other provinces can benefit economically. But the greater injection would be, of course, where this event is being hosted, which would be in the Western Cape. The issue of local business, we have emphasized as a department this issue, particularly to the board, that as we deal with procurement issues, as we deal with assignment of services to be delivered, that we never lose sight around the issue of vulnerable groups in particular as government priority, but also in terms of spreading the cake so that it is not only a particular section of the community that benefits in the city of Cape Town, but that we monitor that whatever they do, they must make sure that their local businesses are benefiting Chairperson. So I think the board is aware of that, but also that when we look at the reports, even at the level of the IMC, when we report on these things, we will be paying a hawk's eye attention on the issue of local economy, but also the spreading of benefits to all the communities of Western Cape. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, DG. Honorable members.
Can I just, through you, Chair? Just to, yes. Yeah. Thank you, Madam. I just want to respond and maybe say, Ukolo, Honorable Mhlongo, Motis Lalangawe. The issue of the ticketing, it was based on projections from the previous World Cup, which was held in the UK. And so that's why we came up with that kind of projection. But also just to confirm, Madam Chairperson, that we will submit the structure and also the whole finance as requested to the portfolio committee. And thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you, patience.
Chair, namin kalukolo din nga zong gutin sa ng game sa king, sang zong sa king kalukolo lap.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Honorable Mhlongo. Same Katiana Manj, Honorable Mhlongo, now a converting case, same Velen Kulumich. In that note, Honorable Members, can I take this opportunity to thank the department and the board, World Cup board, led by Izimbo Godo. We are thinking that as time goes on, we again call you to update us. This is very good. This is history in South Africa to have a World Cup of the netball. Really, we do appreciate what the colleagues of the Western Cape that they are doing. I'll ask them, sometimes they must involve this committee in whatever they are thinking that they want this committee to see. It's just to write to Chairperson saying that on such a day we're going to Boland, we're going to West Coast to do ABC, in order that sometimes as this committee we must have an oversight that we must be on the ground. We'll invite that to your board and then even to your department. I'm suspecting we want to own this project, and this project we want to own that this World Cup is coming to South Africa and is coming where we employed our government, our head office. So we'll appreciate that. In those words, I can release the leadership of the World Cup, but the department with some of the DDGs, maybe they will remain behind going to the last point of the agenda. Thank you so much. We appreciate your good work, and as well asking questions, we want to be informed, because we are the eyes and people of South Africa when it comes to sport. So we must have a first-hand information. You are released.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you very much to all the members of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank Good you. Morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you so much, President. Now, DG, you know, there's a item in our language, it Raqamisa njengomgqakhwe usidla ilifa. So nditsho njalo ke ngokuba qhabela ezipalini. Thank you. And now I'm giving the DG to take us through in this MOU. Thank you, DG.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. And this is Raqamisa to make sure ukubana si hloniphe isikhathi. Chairperson, there are two MOUs that we asked to table to the portfolio committee, and that is the one with the Lesotho as well as the one with Palestine. And the Chairperson, indeed the presentations are extremely brief, but we just want to first highlight that this is a response to our country's readmission after 1994 to be part of the family of nations. And in doing so, the relationships then are regulated through various instruments. And one of the key instruments is the issue of bilateral agreements, which then are translated into MOUs for us to be able to work with. And these MOUs then are tabled for ratification by Parliament, and we did submit this to Parliament for them to be ratified, and they are therefore then officially binding between the two states, and that is South Africa and Palestine, as well as South Africa and Lesotho. Chairperson, we made the presentation to be short and focused, because we believe that we did attach in the submission of the presentations together with them, the actual MOUs themselves. and therefore the areas of cooperation are outlined and detailed in the MOU. We are just presenting here the current status on where we are with these MOUs or with our partnership with these countries. But if need be, we can always refer to the articles which regulate the relationship and the areas of cooperation as outlined in this MOU. I will then, Chairperson, request that DDG can just pass through with the Lesotho one, as well as simultaneously move to cover the one in relation to Palestine. Over to DDG Khan.
Thank you. Thank you very much, DG, and good afternoon or good morning again, Chairperson and members of the committee, DG and colleagues. Chairperson, if we look at the agreement that was signed with Lesotho, the agreement was signed on the 30th of December 2020. It was signed in Maseru, Lesotho, and it is entered into force upon notification in writing by each party, meaning that the moment each party signs the agreement, it becomes effective. And looking at the validity period and the date of the termination of the MOU, Madam Chair, it's this MOU will remain in force for a period of 5 years and shall automatically be renewed for a further 5 years unless both parties indicate that they want it to be terminated. And the date of terminated is the date of termination is subject to 3 months written notification through the diplomatic channels, meaning that 3 months before the agreement is scheduled to expire, each party can give notice of termination through their embassies. The impact of the South Africa-Lesotho Sports Agreement. The agreement aims to strengthen bilateral sports relations. South Africa and Lesotho are both active members of the African Union Sports Council Region 5, which is your Southern African region made up of 10 countries. And thus, the agreement contributes significantly to sports development in the SADC region. The status of the South Africa-Lesotho Sports Agreement. Madam Chair, the agreement is active, and the two parties still need to develop a program of cooperation for the implementation of the agreement. Madam Chair, at present, because of the fact that we participate in the AUSC Region 5 Sports Council, there is collaboration where the two countries do meet at the various meetings that are held, executive meetings, as well as the Council of Ministers meetings. And hence, you know, we are still going to finalize those areas that are of importance to us in also ensuring that we fulfill the obligations to the AU Region 5 and also the Sports Council and also the AU Sports Commission as well. So that is work in progress, Madam Chair. Thank you, DG. Should we go on with the Palestine as well, DG?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Yes,
please. Thank you. Can we move the next slide? Okay. Again, Madam Chair, this is the agreement with Palestine between the government of the Republic of South Africa and the government of State of Palestine, again, in the cooperation in the field of youth and sport. Okay. This agreement was signed in December 2018. It was signed diplomatically through the embassies and not going to the countries themselves. And again, the entry into force, it's entered into force upon the date of signature, meaning that when the agreements are signed, then it becomes effective. Okay. Validity period and date of termination, again, Madam Chair, it's for a period of 5 years and shall automatically be renewed for successive periods of 3 years until terminated. And it is again subject to 3 months written notice before we want to terminate this agreement. Okay. Madam Chair, the importance and the impact of the South Africa-Palestine Sports Agreement. The agreement aims to promote and strengthen bilateral sports relations and to support the Palestinian struggle against Israeli occupation through the exchange of sports programs. And I think this, Madam Chair, then contributes to our own, makes a contribution to our own efforts towards sports for peace and development. The implementation of the agreement is in progress. The minister met with the ambassador to Palestine last year in February sometime. So the agreement is in progress through the handover of sports equipment and the Free Palestine Football Program in Cape Town and in Johannesburg in support of the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people from 2020 to 2022. So that's the efforts, that's how the program was implemented for now, through these solidarity with Palestine and also for through the Sports for Peace and Development. What is still outstanding, Madam Chair, is to develop and sign a program of cooperation with Palestine. Okay. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. That's the end of those two presentations. Thanks, TG.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just Chairperson, to indicate that if honorable members seek the detail of the areas of cooperation, both in terms of development and high performance levels in sport, then the members in the document we submitted that talks to Article 3 under the Lesotho, as well as same thing on the agreement with Palestine. Article 3 defines critical areas that we believe we should be able to have those exchanges. Among others, of course, would be the issues of school sport programs, the issues of academies, the issues of anti-doping, that we should be able to work in the cross-border and recreation programs. All these are covered, Chairperson, in Article 3. And then Article 4 talks to the exchange programs that we can have between ourselves and as areas of cooperation that we seek to have as we advance South Africa's commitment in terms of priority 7 of a better Africa and a better world, and how we can then be able to work together through collaborative efforts between our countries, Lesotho, as well as Palestine. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. No, honorable members, they always jump the gun before even I'm saying, I cannot say withdraw now your hands, but already whilst people are on the platform, I don't think it's right and good to raise your hand, because sometimes I'm thinking that you want to object what the somebody is saying, but I know that everyone is rushing for the time, but I can give everyone that must say something. I don't think it's respectful also while somebody is on the platform and you raise the hand. You know, these hands are very intimidating. Sometimes I won't even know whether you want to say order, Chairperson, because we don't call order by just shouting. You call order by raising hand. So I'm suspecting that's the only problem, that I'm always not want that you must raise hand before I say, now this is the time, because hands are saying a lot of things. Thank you. A leadership of the department. I've seen the hand of Honorable Dennis. I'm calling hands Honorable Veronica. Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Malomane. Thank you. In that order, Honorable Members.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies for putting my hand up earlier than the normal time, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have a question. I want to know if this agreement is subject to approval by DIRCO and others. How do we work with the international relations before we before the department signed the agreement? And then I know there is in one of the slides there is a strong political line in terms of government's position towards Palestine and Israel. So I just wanted to know if that statement would also affect our relationship with other countries. You know, how does that work if we're in a global space? How does that work with, particularly with Israel's stance on the position the government is taking? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honorable Member. Honorable Veronica.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to know if the department can, if we can receive these agreements, because it's not a lot that we, information that we receive, and we would like to know the details. And I don't think we should even ask for this. I'm not sure why we was not presented with it. That's my first question. And then I also want to know, what are the cost implications for South Africa over the terms of these agreements? How much do we invest per year in these countries? And how does South Africa benefit from these agreements? Are they, if we can get that detail. And then I also want to concur with Honorable Joseph. I find it a bit disturbing that there's this specific political stance from the our documents. Sport not supposed to be apolitical. And then also the government cannot speak on behalf of all of us, and specifically with in this we speak of school sport and clubs, etc. It's alarming that we bring in politics into sport. It should not be like that. So I would just want to raise my concern about that too. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Veronica. Honorable Mhlongo.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'll be unboarding now. I apologize if there's a noise behind me. But nonetheless, Chair, I wanted to find out, are we going to have the same MOU with other countries like Israel, Ukraine, and others? I wanted to find out that, and can we get the details of the presentation? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. Honorable Rondi.
I'll be losing you. My apology. Apology, Chair.
Okay. I'm going to accept it. Thank you, Honorable Rondi.
Yeah, Chair. Thank you. My question is on Palestine in particular, noting that the memorandum of understanding with the government of the state of Palestine took effect in December 2018. What is the hindrance to developing a program of cooperation, and does the department have the capacity to plan, implement, and
we are very soft. Come nearer to your mic or increase the volume, Honorable Member.
Okay, Chair. I was saying, noting the memorandum of understanding with the government of the state of Palestine took effect in December 2018. What is the hindrance to developing a program of cooperation? And does the department have the capacity to plan, implement, and monitor international cooperation? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Malumani.
Thank you, Chair. Mine, it will be based on the MOU between Kingdom of Lesotho. It's understanding that a basis of memorandum of understanding is informed by particular outcomes. What are the specific intended outcome of the agreement, and when will the department develop a program of cooperation for implementation, noting that the agreement was signed in 2020? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, mine is just to check this presentation
does it mean that this agreement has been domesticated? I know that you sign and domesticate it. I want to get that. And also, I know that there's this department, international relations, but what is our role as the committee in these MOUs of these countries, in whatever countries, let alone that today we're talking about these two countries? What is our role as a committee of parliament? Thank you. We are left with a minutes that we can round up, and we can do a follow-ups if we just have short questions that are spot on. DJ?
DJ, do you want to take any, and Meshack? And there was a question on the process, and then I will just try to conclude. Honorable Kirsten, if it's agreeable.
Thank you very much, DG. DG, if I may just try to respond to Honorable Malumani's question around, you know, what is the benefit to both the parties? I think if I have to focus, and her focus was on Lesotho, if I can speak about Lesotho, Chairperson, there was an exchange of skills. You know, South Africa in 2013, we worked with Lesotho to assist them to host the COSAFA Cup. So together with SAFA and the skills that we have in coach development, et cetera, and the hosting of major events, our major events and our international relations team actually went to Lesotho to support Lesotho in staging the COSAFA Cup. And the exchange for us, Chairperson, the benefits also for ourselves was the fact that Lesotho has it's a high altitude country. If you look at our athletes, they go all over the country. They all go all over the world looking for high altitude venues to train in preparation for major championships. So Lesotho, that was the endeavors from our side to actually work with Lesotho for our high performance athletes to have a venue just across the border so that they can then train in a high altitude climate. Already, Chairperson. Thanks. So that is the ones that we already had started in 2013 to work with them. But going forward now, Madam Chair, I think we've indicated that we're going to look at, you know, the memorandum of cooperation, the cooperation agreement, implementation agreement that we must finalize and see how we implement it. Obviously, Madam Chair, you know, when you sign these agreements, whenever you have to get to the country or if they have something to offer, then they would fund it. By the same token, we had sent our team to Lesotho, and we then had to pay for their accommodation, flight, etc. From our side. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you, DTJ.
Meshack, there was a question in relation to the process and the involvement of DERCO and the state law advisors. Can you just go through that?
Thank you, DG. Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Just to respond to the question raised by Honorable Dennis with regard to the processes. Honorable Member, when we do agreements with any other country, not only with the ones that we've tabled today. We engaged the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, and also we also engage the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development so that we accede with the international laws and the domestic laws that requires within that particular agreement or any other agreement that we intend to sign as the country. So those processes have been followed. After engaging those two departments, we also engage our counterparts in terms of the text itself, because we need to agree, both of us, with regard to what is in the text in terms of the areas of cooperation. Therefore, all those processes have been met until where we said both parties are in agreement with what is in the text, and also the two departments, as I've indicated, they've satisfied themselves in terms of the international laws and also the domestic laws with regard to the signing of the agreement. I think, let me pause there, Chair, the processes that have been followed until to the signing of the agreement. Thank you very much.
No, thanks very much. Can you mute? Chairperson, firstly, maybe I must just indicate that indeed it is correct that we should be sending these agreements to the portfolio committee. And I think when I asked my team, we just there was an error there that they didn't attach this when we were submitting the presentation. When I checked that I was being told that indeed it confirmed these things did go, I think I must just apologize on that and make sure that just soon after this meeting, I will forward these agreements to the portfolio committee. As soon as the meeting is over, the portfolio committee. Now, on the issue of the Palestine and the statement, Chairperson, our submission was just as South Africans are fully aware about the state of Palestinian-Israeli situation. It's just a standing arrangement that there is a commitment by this government to support the Palestinians and make sure that they are able to also eventually, through solidarity of the nations of the world, that they acquire their own freedom. And at this stage, the only way to assist them is where we can provide them and their children with opportunities to play and to have whatever that we can in terms of exchange programs as a nation. Because I think as our government have constantly stated, even in the past, about the solidarity with the Palestinians and support them until they have their own freedom. So that is not us stating a political statement, because we know that we are not politicians. We're just stating in terms of what government stands for at this stage on the issue of the side of the oppressed and the exploited in Palestine. And that is what we were stating, Chairperson, at this stage in this particular paragraph. We are not delving into any politics, and we understand that we should not mix politics with sports. Unfortunately, what's happening in the world currently is exactly that, where in some countries where there is conflict, sport is affected, but it's not our area. We fully accept that, Chairperson. And on the issue as administrators, and then on the issue of the financials, all the cooperation agreements that we have, they will be able to clarify the role. For instance, if you look at what it says with Lesotho, is that every country will be in Article 4, I think, talks to the financials that we will then, each government is responsible for its own funding. I think it's Article 5 in this regard, Chairperson, that the expenses incurred in the implementation of this MOU shall be borne equally by the parties who have signed. So it depends at the time and what type of intervention, but all the time we guard against being the ones who, as a government, just be the ones who own the financial implications If it is a mutual agreement, then each party has to play and make its contribution towards achieving a particular outcome that is envisaged in the MOA. And then, Chairperson, I think, I don't know, did you speak to the issue of the COP with Palestine and what is an obstacle there, if there is any at all, or just a delay? Meshack, do you want to talk to that?
Yes, I want to talk to that, DG. Thank you, DG, and thank you to Honorable Chair. With regard to the question that was raised by Honorable Zondo regarding the hindrance, whether there's hindrance in terms of developing a program of cooperation. There's no hindrance, Honorable Member. We also have a concern as South Africa. I'm not so sure on their part, because after signing an agreement, it's not a question of only signing the agreement and put it on the shelf, but there's an implementation plan that comes in. But in most instances, the challenge that we encounter is that some countries, or particularly this one, Palestine or Lesotho, they will sign agreements, and then after that, we don't have to, we need to chase them in terms of trying to develop an implementation plan. But it's something that is ongoing within the process. We're dealing with that. There's capacity in the department to deal with that and make it a point that when we sign, whether it's no disagreement, as I've indicated, any other agreements, we need to chase them and make it a point, because it has to be agreed between the two countries. It's not only us that has to develop and then we leave it there. We need to develop the problem of cooperation and send it to them so that we are in consensus with regard to what is in the program of cooperation. So it's a process now that we are working on it. It will be finalized soon, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, will we sign agreement with countries like Ukraine, Israel? Of course, Chairperson, there hasn't been any instruction to exclude any country where South Africa stands to benefit in the field of sport or arts. We do engage or enter into agreements if there is mutual agreement and understanding of what are those areas of cooperation and the nature of the relationship that we're going to have. So we are not bad at this stage to say you may not enter within an agreement with this particular country. So it just depends on the state of readiness between the two countries to be able to enter into such an agreement. And then I think, Chairperson, the issue of monitor the implementation and be able to make sure that we yield the results. Of course, while we cannot impose on the other countries to be forced to cooperate once they have signed, but my understanding and what we do, we have to work together with those countries, of course, with mutual respect of one another, to ensure that when we initiate programs to put into effect the agreements, that the other country then cooperates and participates. So that is how we deal with the implementation of this, and then make sure that the objects and the intentions of the agreement are then met, Chairperson, because we also have to now report on these issues of MOUs through what we call the Forum of the Directors General, because there has been a concern that sometimes we enter into agreements and then they lie fallow and nobody follows up or gets them implemented. So I think it is a duty also of myself as an accounting officer that once these agreements are entered into, we then make sure that we implement them as a department. Chairperson, I believe that we have answered the questions. If there is any that we might have missed, we will then be willing to respond. But I think the one on domestication, the answer, Chairperson, Honorable Chair, lies with the response by Meshack in terms of the process that this agreements before they are finalized. There is that engagement and they look at whether they advance the national interest of South Africa through sports, if it is our sport, if it is arts and culture, and when we also do that. So by the time they are signed off, then they are aligned with the South African laws and as well as the laws of that other country to make cooperation possible. It is different when you're dealing with then the multilateral agreements, okay, which then require domestication. Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable members, we are on time. Thank you so much, DG. And I'm suspecting honorable members, they did ask some information that they must be given. I'm also wanting to share that I'm also thinking that, as UDDG was saying, that with Lesotho, that when the COSAFA Cup did give them some experience, I'm suspecting in the question of skills, if we can get that information, in order that we must know what is going on and why now we're having these MOUs and the experience that really we are copy as this government. But also, I do. I'm happy about the questions that are responded to, because I was wondering that treaties and MOUs are done because we are also a member of state which have got a right to do what we're discussing today. Maybe really we need to present the entire process of having MOUs with other countries and present the copies where we sign, where the articles are explaining why, as South African government, we took a decision to be part of those MOUs. It's so important, in order that when we ask those questions, we ask them, because you did give us full information for an understanding. Honorable members, DG, you are released. Thank you so much with your team that you always providing us with answers. DG?
Chairperson, we would like to thank you and thank the honorable members of the portfolio committee for insightful questions, and we really take comfort also on the criticism, where we get a constructive criticism and guidance. And also the key messages that were given to us, where they give us a sense of support so that we can continue to do better to save our people. I think, Chairperson, you had raised the issue on the role of the committee. I think it is exactly what you are doing even now, to make sure that you get the report, you play the oversight on whether these agreements are advancing the interest of South Africa, and holding us to account and report on whether those agreements are being then implemented. It's exactly that role that is expected, which we really appreciate. It's the first time we present something like this, and I'm sure when we come back with others, we will also have improved on that. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, we left with 6 minutes. Can we agree to that the minutes must be flighted? I don't want to postpone the office is saying that let's not do in minutes. It's one set of minutes and we read the minutes. Can Zoe put the minutes?
Excuse me, Madam Chair?
Yes, Zoe.
There was a mistake with the minutes of the 27th. We were supposed to start with them, but they were not sent to members.
Oh,
and the ones that are sent to members were of the 31st of May.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm not sure whether we should continue the ones of the 31st, Madam Chair, and then do the 27th next week.
Yes. You must flight those whom which we read. And then next week you will present those who you didn't give to us. Still have a few minutes. Honorable members, these minutes were sent to us, the minutes of the 31st of May. Can I yes. Go up. A very important thing is that also members must check whether their names are written, but the content of the minutes, everyone's supposed to come here, read the minutes. So, honorable members, these minutes were circulated to all of us, now are presented in front of us. Let me take this opportunity to say that can any member propose for adoption of the minutes?
Chair?
Honorable Malomani.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the 31st minutes as presented. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malomana. Honorable Sebia.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm seconding the adoption of the 31st minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Members. If there's nothing that it's within our agenda, I'm taking this opportunity to close this meeting officially. Thank you so much.
Sorry, Chair. Before you close, yes. This thing of Honorable Nhlonga is not right. He was delaying our meetings. Now he has gone. He left us behind. Okay, we are noting his apology. But this thing of delaying the meetings and left us behind is not acceptable. His behavior is not acceptable. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Veronica. Honorable Veronica. I'm calling Honorable Veronica, but she's not speaking. By that note, Honorable Members, this meeting is officially closed. Go to the bus. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Good afternoon.
Thank you to everyone. Bye.